One cell, is this on?
It's the fourth quarter of your workday, and coach is called for the full court press. Jake and Jackson are checking in to help you finish the day strong. Welcome to the Full Court Press on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Happy fallout from Tax Day at Sports Fan Radio 1330, the Full Court Press, live and local from Sandy Hollow Studios every single day from 2 until 5. That is every single day if there's not a White Sox game, which there will be the next two. It's like a noon start tomorrow and a 1 o'clock on Thursday, or maybe I have those flip-flopped.
Wait, we've got the White Sox back in the daytime?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
That's correct.
I thought it wasn't until June.
Nope. We still got to get through April, buddy.
I love it. Let's start that meeting right now. Let's start the show meeting. So you and I are going to go back on video, so I'll make sure to do my hair.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to talk to you very much.
No, it's been a busy day for you and I. I know you had some things going on website-wise, and I had some things going on, you know, just music-wise. And so, you know, it's nice to convene.
Yeah, nice to finally talk to you.
Might as well turn the mics on and just do that, right?
Let's do it live!
Hey, does it matter?
Because, you know, this probably, I don't know if this clears air. Well, it does clear air, but I don't know if it's quality enough to make air, but I did have to tell you something today.
What's that?
And I don't want you to feel like...
I'm a little concerned now.
You can't talk to me anymore.
With
okay?
all those qualifiers,
I
what's
don't,
up?
I want to make sure you feel like you can still talk to me, hang out, you know, we can still be, you know, friends and still be buddies, but I just want you to know that you are hosting the show with a certified badass.
What?
I just feel like you should know
that you, where did this come
that
from?
That you are hosting the show.
All right, so let's break this down.
With a 100% Angus beef badass.
Wow, okay. All right. We'll go 90% lean on that.
And Jackson, what?
What? Because that's you know, you're making beef references. Okay.
Yeah.
So where did this come from? Let's just break that down first. I want to unpack that
part. It came
from
a phone call today.
Who was on the phone?
Well, it was from a Buffalo, New York area code.
All right.
And I decided to pick up, because what could possibly go wrong?
Did you sign up for what they were trying to sell you?
Well, no, but I was informed that there has been an arrest warrant put out for me.
Oh.
For the fraudulent activity that was traced back to my Social Security number. And now Social Security wants all the money they're owed, and they're serving me a lawsuit. And the officer should be at my door any day now to arrest me.
So you had to pay whoever over the phone? That was the angle that they took?
Yeah. I got into a long conversation with a gentleman about how to go about dealing with this arrest warrant. But at the end of the day, I just kind of hung up on him because badass. The U.S. government's coming for me, and I still come to work, and I still broadcast over the airwaves. So I know that's like some John Wick like badass activity, just that I'm not afraid of the government. And so I just want to make sure you know that, and then don't be like intimidated by it. Don't feel like you can't still like do the show, you know, rib me and, you know, tease me like we do usually, even though, you know, I'm a tough SOB.
In the lightning round yesterday, we talked about different ways that people accidentally commit fraud on their tax forms.
Yeah.
And so if there are sirens that are coming down right outside the window.
Right.
Because we do broadcast right next to the side street
here. That window is cranked wide open today.
Oh, it's beautiful outside. And we'll get to the weather report here momentarily, I'm sure.
What is that supposed to mean?
You're the meteorology guy. Yeah, I'm sure you had time to check the weather, right?
Not a meteorologist. Badass.
Yeah.
Certified.
Okay, but... So if there are some sirens that come down and you hear that over the airwaves while you're driving around in your car, at least I know they're not coming for me for accidentally putting zero when I should have put a different number or whatever. Because I get nervous and I do the taxes at the very end of, you know, I do it right at the buzzer every single year because that's just how I'm wired.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I know I'm okay. And it's you. They're coming for you.
Right.
So we're good. I'm good.
Well, yeah,
I hope you're good too. Like I'm cheering for you. Like I will be there to support you in you know, court if needed. If there's any kind of testimonial, what kind of a man is Jake Logley? I will gladly stand up there, put the right hand on the Bible, and be like,
he's kind of annoying, but he's
certifiable badass.
He seems pretty innocuous. He's pretty annoying, but he seems relatively inane.
Certifiable Angus beef badass, or
that's
whatever
correct.
You said.
100% certified Angus beef.
That was the line.
Badass.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you got through that.
Yeah.
And thank you for opening the show with admitting that, so at least I know. And that could be...
I just want to set that precedent moving forward that you don't feel like you have to act differently or be intimidated because, you know, you're hosting the show with badass.
It's good to know. And I'm glad that you brought that to air. And I haven't talked to you today, so this is breaking news, and it's good. And I'm glad that we were all in on this together. I'm glad that you were able to let the listener in on it as well.
And there's the public service announcement. The government, Social Security, the IRS, they don't call you. They use the mail. If you get a call from any of those agencies, it's not them.
Or you're sitting at home later. You got the old Cubs game on, or maybe you're trying to check out the highlights from the Clippers and Warriors game, and on the front door you hear. That's when you know that your time might be up.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
I don't think, especially around tax day, you'll see a lot of these calls coming through. Relax. And if you think you can pay off a lawsuit with Amazon gift cards, you know what? Just pay them.
PayPal you that?
Because you clearly don't deserve the money.
Well, all right then. Now that we've cleared the air, can you tell me how warm it is outside and what we're looking at today?
Well, Jackson, it is a gorgeous day.
Absolutely beautiful.
I drove out to go to work.
Well, you took the car today. You didn't take the bike.
No, I didn't. Didn't. Or the scooter. I left work to go to lunch is what I meant to say. And I was driving up Sandy Hollow. And I saw three gentlemen on the green. And all three were wearing their Tiger Red.
Good. Because if I'm going to go golfing, you know that's what I'm wearing too.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I was influenced in that regard.
We only have one life. We die, you know what I mean? Why not? Why wouldn't we wear the Tiger Red when we go out and play golf?
Of course. Because when you're out at 1 o'clock on a Tuesday and you're playing golf, it might as well just be a Sunday for you, you know? You got a big meeting? You got a big meeting with people?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I got tons of big meetings.
It's a Sunday. You're not meeting anyone on the golf course right now. You took the day off knowing that the snow was going to be melted, and you were probably trying to do it yesterday, took the day off and decided, I'm still sick, and then you're going to go out there when it was nice out again. Because you got to get the golf in right now.
You're on
a high from Tiger winning the Masters. You got to go golfing.
After I've watched so many good golf swings, I want to go and remind myself how bad mine is. I feel like I just have to.
Well, the swing might be great. It's just the results.
If the swing's great, the results should be great.
Well, if you feel good during the swing, is it a good swing?
No.
Oh.
It's a good swing. It's a good swing.
Well, I guess that's where I have a lot to learn on the golf course.
Currently sitting at 72 degrees.
Really?
In
Rockford. So we surpassed our projected high of 66.
That is correct.
What a great day.
66 tomorrow's high, an 80% chance of rain intermittently throughout the day, though. So be prepared for that. Thursday, dip down a little bit again, 51, then heating up into the weekend, 58 Friday, 65 Saturday, 72 Sunday.
This weather forecast brought to you by 100% certified Angus badass Jake Logley.
That's correct. That is so correct.
On the full court press.
Man, it feels good.
What a great start to the show.
It feels correct.
So what do we got coming up today?
Now that
I know that the White Sox are playing tomorrow, we got to fit all of the good stuff in.
Yeah, we do.
I was going to push some of it off until Wednesday and Thursday, but now we got to cram it in here today.
We'll only have slight shows or no shows Wednesday, Thursday.
Was that funny? That really funny?
No, okay, grow up, bro. I didn't do anything. I didn't say a thing.
Got a Rockford Lightning round at 3:30, of course. You've got some NHL thoughts that are coming up that we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. The Cubs, the White Sox, both having games, both owning the same record right now.
Nice record at that.
Pretty nice. And then there is also a Jim Boylan discussion that you and I need to have as well.
That's right. So we got a lot to get to, and we don't have a lot of time. Only till 5 o'clock, 815-874-1330. If a day like this reminds you about a beautiful day for baseball, you'd be correct. I don't know why we didn't have a high school baseball game scheduled for today, not yesterday when it was snow on the ground.
Yeah, Randy. And Bill.
That's who I blame. I always blame Randy whenever anything goes wrong.
It's their fault. You got to tell them.
If this kind of weather makes you feel like you need baseball in your life, you need to go visit a baseball game. Let me tell you about a great opportunity to go watch the Chicago White Sox play. April 27, that's the day that we're giving away four tickets and a parking pass for that game. We're going to draw it midweek next week, about the 24th. Then we'll let you know you're the winner. All you have to do is join the Huddle. That's right, the Sports Fan Huddle, our VIP listener club.
Can I stop you right there?
Yes, you can.
We're drawing for the game before the 27th, but the game is on the 27th.
Game is on the 27th.
The drawing is going to be on the 24th, but you might as well take care of it now since we're talking about it. And, you know, as the day passes,
well,
you're going to forget about it.
Here's the thing, Jackson. You can enter once a day.
Oh, even better.
You can enter in via sportsfanrockford.com. Go to the win tab. At the top of that, you'll see join the huddle, win socks, ticks. Yeah, that's right.
Do you say via or via?
I flip-flop. I've never committed fully.
You're 50-50 or you're more via?
I've never committed to anything in my life, much less via or via.
All right.
And then you can sign up and you get some bonus entries by sharing it on Facebook, by following us on Twitter or Instagram. So many ways you can get some bonus entries as well to increase your odds.
The gram.
Of winning White Sox tickets. Did you hear me say the gram today and now it's logged into your head?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the millennial slang and lingo.
That's right.
You know what a Finsta is?
Instagram?
Finsta.
On fire.
Finsta is what... young women choose to create a privatized Twitter account, fake Instagram, so they could upload any more salacious photos that they might want to share, but not entirely with everybody in the public.
Gotcha. So like, that's one of those boosters.
Confidence boosters, also like going out partying, having
fishing.
A good time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
yep.
It's like, this is my real life. It's one of those side-by-sides that have been going around where it's like, this is me on LinkedIn versus me on Twitter.
This is me trying to show you that I have my whole life together. That's my very public Instagram. And then I have, and also some confidence-boosting stuff in there, too. And then I have my Finsta, which is all just me being an absolute degenerate.
Yeah.
In every
That's
way
the
possible.
Other side of me that
yeah.
some see if they have the privilege, I guess.
Yeah, if they're ever so lucky. That's a Finsta.
If I accept your follow.
I'll teach you all this internet slang. You just hang on for the ride, kiddo.
Instagram creeper.
That's right. I don't even have an Instagram. I have the station Instagram. That's why I have it on my phone.
Oh, okay. I've got a personal one, but it's, you know, it's like Facebook for me. I don't do too much with it. That's just where it is.
They're owned by the same, Facebook owns Instagram, I think, right?
They do, yeah. And every time I log into one or I click on the app for one, it will give me a notification for the other. Like, hey, don't forget about us over here. The Instagram, yeah. It's where the pictures are.
Yeah.
Well, see what all your friends uploaded today. It's like, okay, that's what I logged on here
you
for.
Know, like Twitter cares what you're thinking. Facebook cares where you are. And Instagram cares what we look like. I don't think either of us are prioritizing where we're going or what we're doing. We're both kind of homebodies. We also don't really care much about like advertising what we look like to the world. We're much more interested in what we think.
Yeah. And
hence
so,
the jobs we have.
Hence the jobs we have, and also hence the fact that Twitter is usually up more so than anything else. And it's something that, yeah, we talk about often, but that's because so much is spread, you know, news-wise and, you know, also comedy-wise. I like to follow a lot of the funnies, a lot of the funny people. Yeah, funny people.
I follow a lot of the funnies.
Yeah, a lot of the jokes. A lot of the people that are telling jokes yeah. in 280 characters or less.
Say jokes
280
again.
Right now.
Say jokes.
Jokes. You know, those people that make you laugh. But also, you know, just because it's something that SportsFan probably does more than Facebook these days. So, yeah, SportsFan1330 if you want to get us on there.
SportsFan Radio 1330, SportsFanRockford.com, again, where you could sign up for White Sox tickets. And Jackson, you
Sox
know.
Sox ticks.
Four tickets and a parking pass. That's huge when you go to the White Sox game.
Yeah, because the parking pass thing fluctuates.
Yep.
Depends on the lot that you're in. It depends on the day that you're there. It depends on the opponent that they're playing. It could be anywhere between $5 on a Sunday versus $30 if it's opening day.
Mm-hmm.
$30, dude.
Right.
To park a car.
We got you.
Now, of course, there's some tailgating going on, so I guess you got to pay
tailgating.
For the spot. You got to do the tailgating. You fire up that grill.
Get those charcoal going, man.
Yeah.
A couple hot dogs on
you don't
there,
have to pay
hamburgers.
For your own little lot in life tailgate when you go on the 27th because we're going to hook you up with the parking pass in
Boom.
There as well. Plus your ticks to get into the game.
27th against the Tigres. We want to send you there. All you got to do is sign up sportsfanrockford.com.
You know who plays for the Tigers this year?
Who's that?
One Gordon Beckham. He made the roster, Jake.
Do you think
he's still hanging around.
Do you think they'll play the outfield for him?
Of course they will.
It would seem like the polite thing to do.
If I'm going to a game and I wasn't the biggest Gordon Beckham fan when he was here, that was something that, like, you know, the women jumped on and a couple of people got in before me as you know, in terms of like, I love Gordon Beckham, man. He's going to be so good kind of thing. I kind of missed that boat at the very beginning. I was kind of like, let's see how he does or whatever.
Wait, Jackson played wait and see?
Not with Moncada. No. thank you. I would cheer for Gordon Beckham when he gets up to the plate, steps up to the dish.
A little standing O.
Yeah, because you're still hanging around, man, you know?
Somehow you convince someone else to pay you to take at-bats.
It's the craziest career I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Dude could hit everything and not really field in the minors. They bring him up, and 2 years later, he can field everything and couldn't hit for a lick. Yes. Despite what Hawk Harrelson was telling his mother.
Tremendous.
Tell you what, Mrs. Beckham, that Gordon Beckham, he's going to hit.
That boy's going to hit.
That boy's going to hit.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake and Jackson is the Full Court Press.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither do we. We are your state line home for the Chicago White Sox. Sports and Radio 1330.
Jackson, every once in a while, we have to get reminded that sports fans can be the worst.
Why?
And I'm gonna just remind you, I'm not saying anyone listening to this would ever do this or did something like this or would ever even think of doing something like this. But it's a reminder that it's the same mindset of getting overly angry about the sports thing that leads to this type of reaction from people who are already bad people, but the same way that you as a good person could find yourself getting all angry and say something mean on Twitter or say something that's not representative of who you are as a person.
Ah, now I know who you're talking about.
Major League Baseball is investigating racist Instagram messages sent to Chicago Cubs pitcher Carl Edwards Jr., a league spokesman confirmed Tuesday. Team also reacted to the messages, which came after Edwards struggled in his first few appearances, and then he was demoted to AAA Iowa. Theo Epstein said in a statement, quote, "We are shocked by the racist, profanity-laced social media message sent to Carl Edwards Jr. earlier this month. We vehemently condemn the content of the message and are supporting Major League Baseball's investigation to identify the person responsible. In a sport that celebrates diversity and unites people from all backgrounds, we are appalled anyone claiming to be a fan would send diverse and bigoted insults to a player. Whether spoken, posted, or published, this type of reprehensible language and views cannot be tolerated in our game or society." Edwards was demoted after compiling a 32.4 ERA in 4 appearances this season.
So he gave up a lot of runs, basically.
Yeah.
Because the ERA for that small of a sample just makes it look like it ballooned. I mean, even if it was a 9 ERA at that point, it's going to look bad. But yes, he gave up a bunch of runs right away and then was demoted in part because they said it was okay that he could use a pitching windup that is against the rules.
Yeah.
And so he struggled when he was trying to follow the rules because it was a little bit out of the ordinary after a whole winter. And then they had to send it back down.
But here's what I'm saying. In order to say something terrible and racist on Instagram, you already have to be a racist. I'm not saying someone who isn't racist then goes on the internet because they got angry at a sporting event and says terrible things. But it's the same root catalyst as when you watch a baseball game and you scream, "You bleeping idiot. I can't believe you're this bleeping dumb. I can't believe you're a major league base." When you get yourself all riled up in that way that we find ourselves doing, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, doesn't matter. Whenever we let ourselves go to that rage place about a sporting event, remember, it was just this person happens to be racist, and then they have an investigation launched into them for it. It's still not healthy, even if you have no bias towards Carl Edwards Jr. based on the color of his skin, to freak out and be angry at Carl Edwards Jr. because he stunk in the early portion of the year. I think everyone needs the reminder because everyone early in a season finds himself overreacting. And you just got to take a step back and say, in what world would this be an appropriate way to respond to anything?
Right.
And in some reason in sports, we use that as this alleyway to just clear out the rage buildup we have somewhere in our bodies. And I'm better at it. I think this job has made me better at it because, you know, you're inundated with the sports so much, I don't really have the option to get angry that much anymore. Like, viscerally angry. I play it up and I, you know, do the drama show here on the air. You know, I don't let the results hang with me for that long. But I think for a lot of people,
there's always a next day and a next game.
It seems like there's just this kind of anger level that I've never really understood. I've never really got it. People who really grit their teeth and get angry.
Well, people for whatever reason don't like a guy. And when the guy is playing and the guy is not playing up to his potential and is struggling in the way that Carl Edwards Jr. was, that person feels validated and wants to scream it up. I was right to the mountaintops. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's partially where that comes from, but it's also a bad place if you're going on Instagram and actively seeking out this person and then saying things that you would never say to him in person.
No.
And it's not something that if you had those close to you or those mentoring you, you know, or even friends of yours in life, if they saw you saying these things, they wouldn't want you to do that. And you wouldn't say it in front of them. So it's crazy to me that somebody has that in their mind. Like, I'm going to go search him out on the Instagram and I'm going to tell him exactly how I feel. This is just some of the worst people.
Well, and also just to feel like, I don't know what's going on in your life that you feel like just tweeting and Instagramming messaging players is a solid use of your time. I don't know what got you to that point.
Well, that it affects you that much. Also,
no, I'm just saying, like, have more to do during the day. You know what I mean?
Like, there's got to be some unhappiness somewhere.
The fact that you have the time to do that is probably an indicator that you could be doing more things that would make you happier. So you didn't react to sports that way. It's a full circular kind of thing here.
Yeah.
If I did more to be happy, I wouldn't have the time to get this angry about sports. And I wouldn't be sitting on Instagram sending racist and bigoted messages. The players.
Yes, if they had more to do, if they were happier in general with their life, I think that it comes from, you know, their life not being up to where they want it to be, and they're harboring some sort of, like, you know, frustration about it, and then they take it out on things that you're supposed to enjoy.
And you know what, I'm kind of jealous of Rage Monsters, because I feel like they could, like, they're probably the ones that are, like, really good at working out. Like, they could probably just channel all their rage just towards lifting heavy things off the ground. And I'd be like, ah,
no.
If I could channel that.
A lot of them are good at running the 2-minute drill in Madden.
just video games. That's just because they're only channeling it towards that.
Mom, the meatloaf.
We want it now. What is she doing back there?
God.
No, I feel like if you just channeled it towards that, you could probably be super strong, and I'd be jealous of you.
Or read a book and learn something and channel it toward doing something that makes you happier in life. Learn and then apply.
Put things in perspective, because sometimes I feel like I overreact to sports and I've never thought of tweeting anything to a player ever, much less anything vitriolic or hateful.
There are certainly times that I have felt like I didn't understand why there was a guy that was still in a lineup that was struggling, or a pitcher that was brought in where I'm like, why did they go with him? Why is he still on a roster? Why he hasn't figured it out. This isn't the right spot. But again, you are right. I agree with you. Instagram is the last thing on my mind, or any form of social media, for me to go and tell that person directly, whether it be online where I feel like I'm anonymous behind a keyboard or not. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why people do it. But this is where it goes way too far, a story like this.
Staying on the Cubs, they won 7-2 last night. Contreras homered and added 3 RBIs to his season totals. He's now at 6 for the season.
Yeah, he had a late home run to kind of cement the fact that the game was put away already at that time.
It was in the 9th inning, yeah.
There were a couple of different things that happened in that game yesterday that were, like, we talk about this sometimes, but Javier Baez is just the most fun player to watch, man.
He has fun. He has fun playing baseball.
He's a guy who was able to get on base from one of those pop-ups that went in between the second baseman, the center fielder, and the right fielder.
Yep.
He got to second. There was a bad throw to second. He had, like, it looked so dumb when he got up and ran to third. Just barely beat it. Mm-hmm. But, like, only Baez would have done something like that, just super aggressive base running. And then the very next swing from Contreras on the next pitch, I think it was the next pitch, a ground ball foul at the third base line, and Javier Baez just like barehanded it and like threw it into the crowd.
Yeah.
You don't see that ever, to the point where Mattingly came out. He's like, well, what if that ball would have ended up going fair? It was chopping foul, but what if it would have ended up going fair? I feel like he should be out.
Yeah.
Baez is like, what?
Come on, bro.
I was trying to make friends, man.
Sorry for making your home fans' experience was better. Like,
yeah, and he's taking a lead off third base.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're going to be well into foul ground at that point.
Yeah.
You're not going to be anywhere close to fair
territory. That said, if I were Don Mattingly, I would also try to get Javier Baez off of third base.
You might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worth him going out there, but I mean, how long is this argument really going to last? So Baez was able to stay on there, and I believe he scored pretty soon, but... It was one of the more fun moments that I saw. Also, we tried barehanding a double play, and the throw went wide. He was on second and barehanded it.
Yeah.
Had more than enough time, but wanted to just,
yeah,
you know,
do a little bit extra,
like a Javier Baez
typically does.
A
little bit of flair.
Yeah, so he grabbed it with his bare hand. Did not have to in the slightest. Threw the ball wide at first. Extended an inning. Doesn't go down as an error because it's a fielder's choice. You can't get an error on a double play. It was partially what ended up, you know, scoring a run for Miami, but overall, man, like, it's hard to watch a game and not be like, that guy's just too much fun. I would love to have him on a team.
Yeah, and you actually were home in time because you were doing middays on the X, so you could watch all baseball games.
Loved it. And right away in that Cubs game, too, Chris Bryant got hit 3 times.
Yeah.
On the same...
Uh-huh.
He got hit by a pitch. He got to second base.
Yeah.
A pickoff throw. Mm-hmm. Hit him right in the back.
Right.
So he got hit in the ankle, he got hit in the back, and then he goes to third base. And the throw on a sacrifice fly, I believe it was, hits him in the shoulder. So he got hit 3 times all while running the bases or whatever.
Perfect.
So that was another thing that I saw yesterday where I'm like, I don't remember.
Brilliant
the last
strategy
time.
By the Marlins, just hit him with hard balls.
He pegging him.
Yeah.
He pegging him.
We're playing kickball rules. We're playing pegs.
That's what it is. You should be out, bro. What are you doing?
Oh, never mind. I was here the last person in the building yesterday because you weren't here. Joe's not doing nights in the country anymore. And I wasn't dark outside, but the sun was starting to come down because I was here for a while.
Yeah.
And it gave me an insight into what your life must have been like or is like every day. Just like peering around corners, just hearing creaks and cracks that this building is for sure haunted.
This building is absolutely haunted. But when there's not a board op here for a game that we're airing, it's like, what's going on, guys?
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Just trying to make friends with the ghosts?
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got free reign pretty much anywhere I want to go in here. It gets a little weird. But yeah, you got home probably, what, around 7 or so?
A little later. I was hanging out for a while.
You were able to watch some basketball last night?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit of basketball, a little bit of the hockey offerings, a little bit of the baseball as well. But the Cubs win 7-2. Let's talk about what happened on the south side of town.
One more thing on the Cubs?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
All right.
First of all, Yu Darvish.
5 2/3. Probably could have went another batter.
Didn't look terrible. Defense let him down. I mentioned the Javier Baez play.
Did walk 4 batters, though.
Yeah, but he's working through it a little bit. The home run that he gave up. Chad Wallach. That ball's still flying.
Uh-huh.
But there are some signs of improvement from Darvish.
Now, there should be signs of improvement because you bottomed out. So you should be improving.
That's a positive thing.
Uh-huh.
You bottomed out, and now you work your way back up, and he could be good. And I'm just hoping
your
that
confidence has wavered through 3 starts for Yu Darvish.
It didn't look good. I mean, he's I don't worry so much about pitchers that say that they're feeling really good in spring training because pitching translates into the early portion of the season. Hitting does not. I am shocked about Mancata hitting as well as he has and Tim Anderson. And we'll talk about that.
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, for the Cubs, you were saying Yu Darvish was going to be great. I was saying Tim Anderson was going to be great preseason. And
that's true.
One of us was right, and the other one was Jackson.
Well, there's still plenty of time. But yeah, Yu Darvish getting through 5 2/3. Also, probably the best part of yesterday's game for the Cubs, the bullpen didn't allow anything over the last 3 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go back the last 4 games, Jake?
Kyle Ryan, Steve Cishek, and Tim Collins closed that game out.
Going back over the last 4 games, and mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Quintana start against the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes the Angels series.
Yep.
The Cubs have only given up runs on 1 game out of the bullpen. And in their last 14 innings, 3 runs. You could do that.
You can.
That'll work.
That's good enough.
That's called an improvement.
Small size, but yes, you are correct. Also against the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Troutless Angels, and the Miami Marlins.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
You do have to start somewhere.
Yeah, there's still major league there's still major league hitters, which means that at least your pitchers in the bullpen can compete.
The Cubs are 6-9. The White Sox also 6-9. Let's talk about the Southsiders when we come back. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
The team needs a timeout.
Delivering quality and competitively priced trailers with professional, honest, and friendly customer service. Pull ahead with Knight Equipment behind you.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, your home for State Line Sports. Jake and Jackson on the Full Court Press, 2:37 on this Tuesday afternoon. We were talking about the Cubs, their winners over the Miami Marlins last night, 7-2. Also winning the Chicago White Sox.
In comeback fashion.
In comeback fashion, off the back of a Tim Anderson Grand Slam.
That was a couple games ago.
Oh, a couple games
yesterday
ago.
Yesterday it was Wellington Castillo and going oppo.
You know what? And I feel like I need to rub that one in your face because you hate Beef Wellington so much, and now he just gave the White Sox a win late in the game over the Royals.
It was a good time for him to get his first home run in what feels like a year.
Okay, maybe it's been a while.
I don't hate the guy. I just... There was a little
bit... No, you're a hater.
There was a little bit of hope that was placed on him for a guy who was pretty good in the league, and then he comes over to the White Sox, kind of struggles last year, and then boom, gets nailed for the PED suspension, and now he's back on the opening day roster. Renteria put him at cleanup a couple of times, and it just was unwarranted to me anyway, and he struggled. But it was cool to see him go opposite field last night in a game that... almost got away from the White Sox. It was exciting. It was one of the more exciting 5-4 victories I think that you could see.
Orvin Santana got runs on him early, three after only two innings of work. He did last a full five innings flat. But Dozier and Owings both homered in the second inning to give the Royals a 3-0 lead. The White Sox then proceeded to battle back with the next three runs on a Sanchez grounder.
He's looked better, by the way. Yolmer Sanchez struggled not just at the dish, but also in the field for a little while to start out the year.
Yeah.
And it's one of those slumps that have happened. And I always think back to Chuck Knobloch, and I don't know if you know who that player was. Chuck Knobloch was a guy that played for the Twins and then went over to the Yankees and just started struggling in the field. From second base, he was throwing the ball into the first row, legitimately throwing the ball into the first row. And this kept on happening and kept on happening. So then they moved him to left field. Couldn't hit a cutoff man to save his life. He was shortly out of baseball. Great player for the Twins. Yolmer Sanchez couldn't really catch the ball. Routine grounders were just going right by him. There were a lot of runs that were given up that were unearned simply because Yolmer Sanchez just wasn't all there defensively. And now he's starting to make some plays. He's starting to catch fire a little bit. And that's a great sign to see because... he's more of this type of player that has been on the field the last two or three games or so than he was at the very beginning of the year.
So that was the White Sox first run, and we'll need Yolmer Sanchez if they want to battle closer to that 500 mark, which they have a chance to do over the next week.
And if they don't want to sign Machado.
Leury's Garcia doubled to left, which scored Sanchez in the fifth inning, and then Moncada singled to right, which scored Garcia. So the fifth inning rally tied the game up at three. Whit Merrifield hit a sack fly to right in the seventh, but Wellington Castillo drove home Tim Anderson and himself in the eighth inning to give the Sox the 5-4 win.
And 3-for-4 once again for Tim Anderson. His average is now back up to .453. He does not really walk as much, but that's always been something with him where he doesn't take too many base on balls. He tried working on a little bit last year and doubled his total. I think he was around 20 for the entire season.
Right.
Dude's getting on base by hitting the ball. It doesn't really matter. And
yeah, no, the concerning thing is just the strikeout to walk.
Right.
But the way he's hitting the ball and the directions and all these kind of advanced things you look at and how sustained hitting happens, he's doing all those other things. The one thing that makes you think it's not sustainable, obviously 453 is nowhere near sustainable.
Right.
A good season for Tim Anderson is sustainable based on where he's hitting the baseball. It's just a matter of not striking out nearly as much more than you walk, and that's his problem.
He's hitting a lot up the middle. He's hitting a lot right over the shortstop's head, a lot of line drives, a lot of sharp ground balls that are just finding their way through the infield. And also, the slugging percentage is up there, too. His OPS is something like close to 1150 at this point. I mean, he's getting doubles. He's getting home runs. He almost went opposite field once again last night for his one out. It's been impressive to see this guy play this year because he's a completely different hitter than anything that I thought he was capable of. But he's only swinging at pitches inside the zone. He was chasing a lot last year. And so now, I mean, over the offseason, it's like his batter's eye has improved. His plate discipline is up there. And he's really getting the barrel on a lot of this stuff. And the batting average of balls in play has got to be sky high for him. That's the part that's not sustainable. That is going to probably bring it back down to about 300. But if he hits 300 per season,
it's
going
to bring it down to 300.
Well, if you're at 453 right now, I mean, exactly. He's due for a slump. He's due for some bad luck. And he's due for a correction. You hope that it happens over time and not necessarily sharply. But I think that right now he's in such a good place hitting-wise at the plate. The confidence is just flowing. I can see this lasting for a little bit longer with him, and the longer it goes, of course, the more impressive that it is, the more that the White Sox can start stacking up some wins.
His salary will start to increase over the next 4 years. He makes $1.4 million in salary this year. It'll elevate to $4 million next, $7.25 million in 2021, $9.5 million in 2022, then becomes a club option for 2023 and 2024. If it's picked up, he'd be owed $12.5 million and then $14 million at 31 years old. But right now, that's a pretty darn good value for a shortstop hitting .450.
And a guy who's worked a lot at shortstop, and he's become much more reliable over there as well. Still a couple of plays that you wish that he could make that he hasn't. But I saw a comp on him as Sean Dunstan not too long ago. And if he exceeds that, you've got yourself a pretty good value at 2023 at only $12.5 million.
Well, here comes, Jackson, your portion of the schedule you were pointing to and saying, hey, this could be a 500 baseball team, because you wrap up this series in Kansas, or with Kansas City, at the Guaranteed Rate Field through Wednesday. Then you have a four-gamer through the weekend with Detroit. Then you go to Camden Yards at the start of next week, and you
Baltimore.
Finish up with Detroit again through the end of April, and Baltimore on 29th and the 30th. If you can't split with those types of teams or make up those three games over the course of the next couple weeks, you know, it's gonna be a long year, but I think I'm, you know, maybe it's just recency bias of winning the last two games and winning a series against the Yankees over last weekend, but your prediction looks a lot more reasonable than it maybe did to me when I was looking at it the day before the season started.
And I'll tell you what, if you took the over on 60 wins for Baltimore this year, because I think Vegas had them at about 56.5 or so starting the season. They're just coming off the third worst record of all time last year. Baltimore right now in second place in the East. They're 7-10 right now.
Chris Davis hit a home run last night.
He did. And good for him. Watch him hit 300 now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just if you wipe away the first two weeks of the season, he had a career year.
He's never been that high of an average hitter. He's more of a power guy, but he'll catch fire here. There's always a correction that happens in baseball. You start to...
No, we were talking about a preseason. Like, you can't look at numbers until, like, the end of May.
Right. Right. And then you could start to see trends, and you could see, well, why is this happening, et cetera. But, you know, bad bullpens are different. You look at more of a macro part of your team as opposed to just, like, one guy struggling that you want to send down. You look at the whole bullpen and how you can improve that in the first 60 games or so. But you don't really look at who you can acquire. You don't really look at individual performances and, oh, this guy's really bad this year or whatever, you might want to dump him. That's not really how it works until the end of May, for sure. But Baltimore 7-10 right now.
But they are getting better, and the guys who are really making bread with the baseball analytics side of things are the guys who can look at those sub numbers we talked about with Tim Anderson, not just that you're hitting, but where are you hitting it, how high off the ground are you hitting it, what's your exit velocity, and kind of trying to determine when a player is just finding lucky spots or whether he's actually doing and hitting in a way that's sustainable beyond that inflated number portion early in the year. So, I think that's where the game's going to move, and the guys who we're going to have a wave of baseball analysts, and we're seeing it. Fangraphs obviously has a really good corner on it, and some other sites and blogs and more specific individuals are starting to be those folks, but the people who are really going to separate themselves in baseball are the ones that say, that refuse to accept the idea that I'm not allowed to judge a baseball player until 2 months into the season. The ones who can go there and go to those other less on the surface numbers and say, no, this player is actually hot, this guy's actually stinks, and this guy is maybe a false negative one way or the other. He's hitting well, but is going to be bad, or vice versa. He's hitting bad, but is going to be good. The guys, there's a real need in baseball for guys that are going to cut through all that surface stuff and say, don't pay attention to this, pay attention to this, and this tells us X, Y, or Z, even in April and May. Obviously, the first week of the season, we can't do that, but it's ludicrous to me that we can't just start judging players until Memorial Day. That can't stand.
Well, if you're looking at numbers, if you want to dive into sabermetrics, maybe you're not very familiar. If you're looking at a pitcher and want to see how good the pitcher is, fielder independent pitching is something that you can look at, and that's just randomized ballpark. Everybody is on the same playing field. Everybody's got the same style defense. It's just an average defense behind them. What is their ERA? And that is something that fielder independent pitching looks at. It's called FIP. And then for hitters, batting average of balls in play, typically it's around 300 in the league. Those who hit higher may be hot, but some who are line drive hitters, you know, the harder that you hit the ball, those tend to have higher numbers that can carry and sustain. And right now, I would venture to guess that Tim Anderson's got a super high batting average of balls in play, but he's also hitting the ball extremely hard. So if he can continue to at least put the barrel on the ball and have a higher exit velocity, he should be okay, you know, going into the summer months here in the season. But you can also look at improvements that are made year over year, too. They mentioned this a lot on the broadcast last night, Stone and Benetti. Mancata was just really bad against changeups last year. And the ball that he roped for an RBI yesterday into right field was a changeup. Yeah. And he's making more contact on those. Right now you're looking at him, yeah, he's got 17 strikeouts in 15 games. You'll take that because he's batting .323 with a .364 on base percentage. He's at least seeing the ball better on pitches that he struggled against last year.
Sports Fan Radio 1338 is a Full Court Press. Jake and Jackson, we're back with more right after this.
Catch the Full Court Press replay on sportsfanrockford.com.
Hey, I'm Jordan Gulfley with your sports update. Last night in the NBA, the 76ers used a big 51-point third quarter to propel them over the Nets 145-123.
Now, back to the Full Court Press with Jake and Jackson.
Very soothing here, Jackson.
It's all springtime music.
Chewing on a pizza. Chewing on a piece of grass.
I guess I didn't really know the lyrics.
Tell me how long you gonna stay here.
But we do play it, however. 100 FM, Rockford's greatest hits.
Sign me up for this song all day, every day. I just want this song to follow me around all day.
This seems like a really tough guitar part. Like, my hand just kind of hurts just like trying to listen to it.
I also want to follow around all the people on the golf course today. Just hang out for a while. Hey, guys, you just want a partner for your walk there? I just want to walk along with you.
Those caddies.
I'll be your caddy. Just call me up. Just give me a good reason to get out of here and be your caddy.
Is the show that bad so far today?
No, the show's not that bad. Just longing for it.
He's got his arm extended almost out the window.
Longing for it.
Yeah.
I can't look at a golf course all day on a 72 degree April day.
Well, do you want to switch seats? I mean, you can run the board for a little bit if you want to.
Honestly, might help more than you realize.
Right. I might zone out and just stare out the window too. Then
see, it's tempting.
Well, I'm just letting you know.
Right,
but feel free.
Have enough slack in the arm stand there, the microphone stand. You could probably just turn yourself full, kind of 180, and look out.
Yeah,
like I
probably
am.
Could. It's a good point.
We might both appreciate the day more if we didn't have to look at each other. We just kind of looked out at nature and conversed from there.
That is true. Go ahead.
Jackson, you're still reeling. You're still reeling from my admission today of that I'm running from the government.
So far, so good on that.
No, I think you're reeling. You're flustered.
Well, I haven't heard any cars come by or any sirens or anything.
No,
so
I'm not talking about them coming to get me. I'm talking about, you know, how you're dealing with it. The news that, you know, I'm a fugitive.
I'm okay. I think it's interesting.
I'm a wanted man.
Well, dude, from the very first month that we started here, we established that I'm someone who loves chaos.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be involved in it.
I got a call.
And I don't want anyone to get hurt.
From Buffalo,
New York.
So
this qualifies.
Where we all know the most important business transactions take place in Buffalo, New York. And I was informed that there was a warrant out for my arrest. And the IRS had filed a lawsuit against me for unpaid dues.
There's probably something awesome in Buffalo, New York that really helps out the economy. that I could fight back with, but I don't really know the city or the area that well.
I'm just saying, of course, that call comes from Buffalo, New York. Of course, that's where you find out the
I like that they at least told you where they were from.
No, just my phone told me that.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the area code that the phone was coming from. It said Buffalo, New York.
All right. Well, you're still here, and I expect you to be after 3 o'clock as well.
Who knows, though? That's the problem with being a badass. You never know when things are going to end. Sports Fan Radio 1330, SportsFanRockford.com. 2 more hours of the Full Court Press, and you
and
won't want
freedom.
To miss them. Well, who's to say?
I don't know.
When you need solutions, just give us a call. Rockford Heating and Air Conditioning. We can do it all. We're here to help you. Help you clear the air. For your comfort all year round, we'll be there. Rockford Heating and Air Conditioning, when you need solutions.
WNTA Rockford, Sports Fan Radio 1330. We've got plenty of topics to discuss. Be part of the conversation at 815-874-1330. Welcome back to the Full Court Press with Jake and Jackson on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, the Full Court Press. Jake and Jackson on with you until 5 p.m. tonight. 815-874-1330. 815-874-1330. That's if you want to jump in on the conversation. You give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Beautiful day like this. Going to be a couple of them over the weekend. Might have some family in town for Easter. Some sons or daughters, and you might feel like that's the time you want to bring out all of the storage you have, all of these old sports equipment from their high school or their grade school playing days, most specifically. And you say, hey, what should I do with this? And you know what your kids are going to tell you? Why in the world would I want you to keep that? Why in the world do you feel like you need to store this in your basement, your garage? When you're at it, give it to... donate it to Goodwill or someone. Salvation Army, doesn't matter. I'll tell you what, we can cut out that middleman altogether. We're going and partnering with the Ken Rock Community Center, the Boys and Girls Club of Rockford, and the Rockford Park District in collecting student athletes' sports equipment. It's part of our sports equipment drive, which will be held on May 4th at Don Carter Lanes from 8 a.m. till noon. We'll be doing a live broadcast that morning and meeting you, saying hi, collecting all of this sports equipment for kids age 5 to 14. Now, you might be wondering, what's the kind of equipment you're looking for? Jackson, do you have the list in front of you? Because I have it right here, just so we can make sure folks know what kind of equipment we're looking for.
Gloves.
Yep.
Clubs.
Correct.
Bats.
Uh-huh.
Shoes.
Uh-huh.
Cleats.
Correct.
Skates.
Correct.
Sticks.
Yep.
Balls.
Mm-hmm.
Pucks.
Correct. Amundo. Well, actually, pucks isn't on our list, so don't bring
those. I mean,
we
could, all right.
Because we only have two rules. If it's unsafe for your kids, it's unsafe for ours. Please keep donated items to what's on the list on sportsfanrockford.com. But Jackson's right. If you have kids' golf clubs, we don't want your old grown man golf clubs. Those aren't of use to anybody. But if you have junior golf clubs, we want those.
So what age?
5 to 14. So kindergarten through 8th grade.
Yes.
Okay. Hockey sticks.
Confirmed.
Hockey skates. Tennis rackets. Some... a little more off the beaten path things like knee pads, elbow pads.
Pads.
Scooters.
Scooters.
Swimming goggles.
What?
If you have swimming goggles,
swimming
that's
goggles.
On the list. That's on the list.
Oh, for closers in baseball. I get it.
Correct.
All right.
Or for swimmers, but one of the two.
Okay.
I know it's got to be so frustrating as a parent if you have a kid in like 3rd through 6th grade and it seems like they outgrow everything every single year. So daunting, the idea that you have to get your kid new equipment for every year he or she goes and takes on a new sport.
On top of the fact that the sport itself costs money to sign up for, which makes sense.
And if you've been through that and you understand that there's got to be parents out there that are having a harder time making those ends meet in terms of their kid wanting to play sports and giving them all the resources necessary to go do that, this is your chance to help those parents out and those kids out, most importantly. All you got to do is bring all that good sports equipment, still usable, not junk sports equipment, to Don Carter Lanes on May 4th.
Not junk.
I don't want your junk. I have no use for your junk. Those kids have no use for your junk.
As long as it's clean, as long as it works, your kid, if you had one of that age still, would use it.
SportsFanRockford.com for that master list. May 4th, 8 a.m. to noon, Dodd Carter Lanes, partnering with the Ken Rock Community Center, Boys and Girls Club of Rockford, and the Rockford Park District Sports Fan Radio, 1330.
What day?
May 4th.
Oh, we're broadcasting that day, aren't we?
We sure are.
What are we going to talk about?
Well,
all right.
Sports equipment.
We'll just say hi to people as they walk by.
Hey, hello there.
Hey.
Hi there. Hello.
Hey, what do you got there?
Skates? Yes, how are you?
Awesome.
Okay.
Hey, what a nice day.
Oh, we got some rollerblades there.
Thanks for coming to Don Carter.
Okay.
We'll take those.
Get a hockey puck going there.
We'll
take those. Jackson and I are going to have to play in the parking lot.
We might.
Probably.
I mean, the equipment needs to be tested out, right?
During Randy and Jordan's show, should we just play a little long toss?
Might as well. Yeah, right in front of them.
What are we going to do?
With them.
No. They have to broadcast for the first 2 hours.
Like it matters.
We got the second 2 hours.
Okay.
So we'll just play long toss from 8 to 10.
That's
and if
fine.
Anyone comes up to donate, we help them out for a little bit.
Well, if someone brings catcher's equipment, yeah. Throw that 80-mile-an-hour fastball.
That's right.
Right down the pipe.
That's right, man. If you have a used radar gun, you should be sure to bring it.
And we're set.
Yeah.
We don't have to contact anyone. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to find a high school where they're clocking pitches.
SportsFanRockford.com. You want to check out all those details for the student athlete sports equipment drive.
I hope we get a day like that on May 4th.
That
like
would
a day like today.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, man. So there's going to be a barrel at Don Carter, and then we're going to take that stuff from the barrel, and we're going to disperse it to those who could certainly use it across the state line area. All the used equipment, man. It's awesome.
Jackson, you've since starting the show tried to experience a little bit more hockey. AHL, NHL.
Yeah.
Tried to drink it in a little bit more. It's certainly taken a dip in the modern game. You don't see it very often, but some people like it. Some people hate it. Where do you sit on fighting in the NHL, the only modern sport that would allow players the leeway to go out and hit each other in the face?
I used to love it when I was a kid.
Right.
That was what I looked forward to at games because, if the Blackhawks won and there were a couple of fights that were at least interesting, then I would have enjoyed it. And this is me going up until maybe about freshman year of high school.
Uh-huh.
And since then, it just seems like it got to a point where as I got older, okay, you're going to get that mad over that. Like, you're going to throw gloves down and you're going to start punching each other just for that. I mean, there are some times where I felt like it was justified where somebody would be legitimately angry, but there are other times where it's like, you're checking me too hard, bro. Throw them down. And it just seemed kind of silly. It was like a Jerry Springer episode to me. So there were some that were a little more contrived, and there were some where they were actually, all right, he's got it coming, I guess. But overall, no, I'm glad it's cut down significantly.
Would you want it to be eliminated entirely?
See, there are those times where it's still somewhat entertaining to me. I just don't want it to be every game, it's like a bench clearing brawl in baseball or whatever. I mean, those are kind of funny to me. If someone is that mad over something, it can't be contrived. If somebody is that mad over something, yeah, I mean, keep it around. I mean, don't really penalize the people, but I don't want to see it nearly as much. No, I mean, not. I'm glad that it's cut down.
Well, here's the real life reality of this. Andrei Svechnikov is 19 years old, who plays for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's the youngest player in the playoffs. He's 19 years old.
Yeah, that's young.
Yesterday, he picked a fight with Alex Ovechkin.
That's not good.
Alex Ovechkin doesn't fight very often, but he's a mad Russian. Yeah, Ovechkin delivered three consecutive right hooks. Ovechkin then, or Svechnikov's head then hit the ice on his way out. He was clearly out cold by the time the third punch hit.
Okay.
His head hits the ice. He stays on the ice for approximately 5 minutes. He's currently in concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's not good.
But Ovechkin was well within the rules. He didn't start the fight. Svechnikov was following him around, giving him a stick jab. They were talking. Clearly, the let's go thing got exchanged. Ovechkin drops gloves first. Svechnikov follows suit. And it was a man and a boy. And the man knocked the boy square into the ether.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't want
to
see that.
I didn't set you up. I didn't.
No, I know that.
I didn't set you up because I agree with you. I am with you. And I'm trying to evolve my stance on this in real time, because for a long time I thought the people who were so anti fights in the NHL were just not appreciating that their game still had a little bit of grit, still had a little bit of self-policing to it, which I really admired.
That's the part that I like.
I really admired the fact that teams can take matters into their own hands in some way, quite literally. If a player is playing dirty, if a player is doing something that is deemed, you know, kind of breaking an unwritten rule. I know I hate that in baseball, but, you know, they can be kind of their own judge and jury in a little bit and settle things, and the refs will give them the leeway to settle something before they start delivering more dirty hits. We exchange a couple punches, we're on skates, so how much power could we really deliver? And one of us hits the ground, and the second one of us goes down, or both of us go down, they separate us. I in principle, I like that. And then you see something like this, or within the last 2 years, certainly. I think it was maybe last season where John Hayden gets into a fight with a member of a Minnesota Wild team. The weight transfer just works perfectly with this whooping right hand and breaks the guy's jaw. Something like this, where the kid's head hits the ice on the way down, which is way more dangerous. Anyone who will tell you about street fighting, it will tell you that no one's worried about the actual punches being thrown by the two competitors. It's if one of them lands and their head hits the concrete or the asphalt, the pavement, that's where you can get the most screwed up. And so now it's making me kind of look at this and say, okay, that's the real-time consequence in a playoff game, which already is even less fighting than you would see in the playoffs or in the regular season. And now a 19-year-old is in concussion protocol because he decided he was going to pick a fight with one of the most experienced players in the NHL and one of the most active players in the NHL, not fighting wise, but just general toughness. It makes you kind of wince and go, okay, this is maybe the one me rethink some stuff.
Do you know anything about this 19-year-old player, whether he does this often, where he kind of instigates fights often?
I can't say.
I mean, and it shouldn't matter, because this is one of the extreme circumstances in which you don't want to see it happen like that. I'm not a fan of enforcers in the game and being employed on rosters. Like, you just take a guy who sucks, but he's like big and he can bully people. Not a big fan of that. But if there's something that is a legitimate beef, if there is some sort of underlying issue that kind of festers itself over a series of games or over a long time of games, or, you know, something is egregious and wasn't called and there needs to be some, it doesn't need to be, but if there's a player that has some sort of retaliation that they want to, you know, put on that other team, not going too far out of bounds with it, like, I'm okay with it. But this is one of those where you hate to see it happen, although I still wouldn't want to completely rid the sport of that option of fighting, if that makes sense. And maybe it helps because Ovechkin wasn't the one that was instigating.
Well, there's two versions of the story. Ovechkin said that Svechnikov instigated the fight. He just finished it. And there's kind of some conflicting, not direct, he's lying, contradictions going around. But there's two versions of the story.
All right.
Because you never know who says what. Ovechkin slashes Svechnikov. Svechnikov slashes back. Words exchange. Ovechkin drops glove first. They fight. You know, it's hard to say who challenged who or who said, let's go. You know, it's kind of...
Maybe it's just a bad memory, or maybe I just wasn't focused too much into the consequences of some of these, but I feel like a lot of the fights that happened, the majority of fights that happened throughout my time growing up, didn't have anything like this going on. It was just basically jersey tugging and the occasional swing that would go off right.
And that's where most of these things land to, but then you see one kid who just doesn't know how to move his head because he's not a fighter. He's not. The game he probably grew up playing, for the juniors through colleges through everything, you weren't fighting.
Finesse.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do that. And he got blitzkrieged.
And you can't say, no, I don't want to fight you, because then you're going to look soft.
Three direct right hooks that looked educated at that to his chin. And he's probably already out by the time he's going down to the ice. And then he hits his head.
Is there a moment in time in which a teammate seeing this could intervene?
No, the refs are sitting there. The refs are sitting there and waiting for them to go down to the ground, because that's the rule. Once you engage, you're both going to get penalties, but we're going to wait until one of you goes down to the ground. Or until it goes out long
enough. They should be able to come in and...
Well, it happened so fast. The refs did the best they could.
Right.
But that's the rules.
Maybe they need to be a little bit closer. Stop the damn match. Well, I know they did.
They can't be there in the 0.5 seconds after that hits 1, 2, and 3. I mean, that's ridiculous. You can't ask refs to know how to do that. I don't have any problem with the way it was.
And I didn't see the fight happen live or, you know, even on replay. So it's hard for me to really tell. But it's one of the unfortunate circumstances when it comes with this type of rule where we're not going to really penalize you much. There's going to be a five minutes still, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. We're going to take you off the ice for that amount of time. And it hurts for Ovechkin, but there's not really too bad of a penalty that happens from it. So it's one of those unfortunate circumstances, one of the bad fallouts that doesn't happen often. But when it does, it's like, ooh, maybe we need to recalibrate. I still don't want to see it completely go away.
No, you'll take a look at it during the break here, and you'll tell me whether there was anything that could be done to lessen the severity of it. I think maybe it's off the heels of watching a UFC this weekend that makes me say, I can watch dudes fight each other. I can find that if I want it. I don't get much entertainment value out of it anymore, or at this point in time, especially knowing that things like that can happen for guys that didn't sign up to get punched in the face.
Well, it's not part of the game. This is a side part of the game.
It's a totally unnecessary part of the game. And there's a certain consequence to taking rights and left hands to the chin, to the temple, and to the face. And if you're signing up with that sole intent, knowing that's going to happen, I'll gladly support it, watch it, do that. I don't have a problem with consenting adults signing up to fight each other, clearly, because I promote every UFC event I can and hype it up. But there's something about Alex Ovechkin, a 35-year-old, pounding the ever-living crap out of a 19-year-old on a hockey rink that just makes me go, if I wanted to see that, if I wanted to see two Russians beat the crap out of each other, I could watch that any Saturday. And it's sanctioned by an athletic commission. I don't want to watch it here.
Well, what happens in basketball if, you know, somebody goes up for a layup and there's a hard foul, you know, and everybody all kind of gathers around and there's a shoving match? Immediately the eyeballs turn to the television and go, hey, whoa, what's going on here? And it becomes, for better or worse, more entertaining. Of course, we don't want to see the Malice in the Palace happen once again. But if there's some sort of like legitimate beef that has festered itself throughout the course of a game and you got somebody in there who's legitimately angry and has an issue, like, I don't mind watching that. As a matter of fact, I watch it a little bit closer because it's outside of the realm of normal NBA basketball if that kind of thing does happen. So I like to see those things every now and again, but I don't like to see someone get knocked out and taken to the hospital. How you could fix it, I have no idea.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake and Jackson, it's Full Court Press.
Time for a breather. We'll get back to the Full Court Press on Sports.
Alford, just down from Oscars. Walk-ins always welcome.
Roll with the pros at Euro Tattoo.
Download the Sports Fan Rockford app and listen to the guys from anywhere. Now, back to the Full Court Press with Jake and Jackson on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Summer's coming, Jackson. Summer's coming. We just turned the AC on in the building for the first time in 2019.
Kind of weak? Maybe.
Kind of soft?
But I'll take it.
Kind of soft?
Got the AC blowing right here, and it's awesome.
You do really have the catbird seat, because we are air venting here. Just kind of leaks out cold air, so I put a little small fan next to it to kind of blow the cold air. And you're just getting it blown directly on you right now. I get a little bit. Not enough, though.
Just started, so you know, you got to give it a few minutes here, but we've reached that point. And now
degrees.
I guess everybody's gonna start wearing shorts, right? And now that, it's the day. Today is the day.
You don't have to sell me on it. I'll start wearing shorts.
All right,
are you a shorts guy in the summer?
Absolutely, right?
I think so. I don't know. I think in the past summers here, I think I've made it through two, and I don't think I'm comfortable enough in the office wearing shorts. I should be.
I think when I started last year, I was in that same. Yeah, now that I remember it was closer to September.
The Cavs are a real step forward that I'm not sure I'm ready to take. I'm not ready to take mine and everyone in this office's relationship to that level yet.
I could really care less. I'm wearing shorts the next day that it's, you know, 80 or whatever. I have to be. The AC's out in the car. I'm
really?
Not going to be wearing pants.
That's real life?
Yeah, it's real life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got to get the new car. Got to get it replaced.
You're going all the way out with the car. Mazda's getting told, see ya.
I've... Had it for about 5 years. I put 200 plus thousand miles on it. It's time.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Simply too much driving,
used to live
by the
far
way.
Away. Really used to live
still
far
do
away.
Live far away, by the way.
Well, not nearly as far as, you know, I used to.
Simply too far, though. I'm
oh,
go.
Way too far. I love the car. I love everything about it. I might just get the same model.
Yeah.
And just a lot less miles and just restart. At least by then, I know everything that's probably going to go wrong with it.
Reset.
Just reset.
Same Fiesta
I love
red.
It.
Same Fiesta red colorway.
Give me the manual 5-speed. Give me the, give me all that. I just want some working dash lights because those are starting to go too. No, it's crazy. Like, you could tell when the car is, like, really old and you're just trying to get it, like, every last drop of, like, energy that that car has and you're running it into the ground.
Quick
it's
thing,
amazing what starts to go.
Quick thing, though. You're an adult. Why are you driving manual?
Why not?
No. Why?
Because I get bored, dude. Seriously.
Hey.
The only time... Okay, if I lived... within like the real city parameters here where it's stoplight. And driving stick sucks.
Yeah. Maybe I just do too much city driving.
But I take 90, you know?
Right.
And so it's...
You want to feel like you're racing.
Well, I want to feel like I've got something to do. It gets boring.
You know what the thing you can do is? Not die. Keep focus on not dying.
Well, dude...
Technology's come a long way.
She got a spark.
Yeah.
A little Chevy spark.
Right.
Automatic, right? Uh-huh.
Automatics again.
Yeah.
She drives stick
and
too.
It's weird. No, it's just an automatic that she...
Oh,
she
sorry.
Doesn't drive stick.
I got the terms
so
mixed up.
She... I usually drive it if we go far distances.
Yeah.
And she's very good at not telling me when we have to get off the highway to get into an exit, you know,
right.
until we're like less than a quarter mile of the way there and I'm in the left lane or whatever.
Sure.
So she's like, oh, we got to exit here. And what? You know, immediately. So I'm looking.
Start downshifting.
So it's not just that. I'm looking for the clutch to take it out of gear.
Right.
So that I could start braking.
Uh-huh.
And I found the actual brake.
No.
So I floored the brake. We had like whiplash, like almost hit like the dashboard kind of whiplash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, sorry. She was fuming.
But of course she was.
You've got to tell me when we're going to go to the exit.
And you know why? Because she drives normal cars. So when she gets told with a quarter mile remaining, you got to exit somewhere. You know what she does? Nothing. Because you don't have to do that.
But you know what happened? We made the exit.
You did make the exit.
And that's all that matters. We left a little bit
of... You could have exited into the ditch on the left side of the road also.
We left a little bit of rubber on the ground for maybe about... 10 yards or so, and then we were able to safely exit.
Thank God there was no one behind you.
There was someone to the side of us, so that was why I had to, like, try to, you know, really slow down and get over there. But I wasn't expecting. That's the problem. When you go from a manual to an automatic, they were going to have me run the X200 in an automatic?
Yeah.
Dude, I would have died.
Yeah.
I mean, I died anyway. Like, I was terrible in that race or whatever. Yeah. Had a lot of fun. Uh-huh. Would absolutely do it again.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, we tried fixing you up with an automatic. Can you drive stick? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I prefer it.
I did prefer it.
Of course you did. For a race, I get it. That's why I said, you racing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing driving stick casually?
It's one of those things.
You racing?
Well, I had a friend. I used to deliver pizzas.
You drive a sports car?
I had the one sports car that I've ever had was an automatic, and I hated it.
Yeah, no, if you have a sports car, I get it. Drive stick.
I got it for a low price because it was an automatic.
If you like going...
No, it really has nothing to do with that. I just like to be in that kind of control when I'm on a road.
To what end?
To get a manual instead of an automatic.
No. Be in control to what end? What does that control give you? Have that extra level of control over the car. Safety?
I always know how fast I'm going and don't have to look at a speedometer. Based on how
the
engine sounds and what gear.
That's what the speedometer's for, though.
Yeah, but whatever.
If you were relying on sound,
and the
police officer pulls you over and says, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" You said, "I think my ears are telling me I was going about 72.
It's a feel thing.
And he's like, "I got you at 78. And you say, "No, that doesn't. The feel was telling me 72.
When I'm at about 3,000 RPM in third gear, I know I'm going 40.
But what? How do you know you're at 3,000 RPM?
The sound of the engine, the feel of the car.
No, no, no. Exactly. How would you know that you're exactly at 3,000 RPM?
You might look at the RPMs. Honestly, go in a car
right next to the speedometer.
Well, yeah, but okay. I learned how to drive stick in a car that was $400 that I picked up just because I wanted to learn how to drive stick because it was just something else that I wanted to learn. You know, right. I just wanted to learn how to do it.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend that did it, and I was like, "Dude, how do you do it?" And I couldn't do it. So I picked up a $400 car. This thing had no dash lights.
Uh-huh.
I had to use a phone app for a speedometer.
Yeah.
I was able to learn that way just based on the feel and based on where I was like in the transmission.
Yeah.
And what gear or whatever, how fast I was really going.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, it's a 4-cylinder car. They translate. That's all.
No, no, no.
That's fun to me. I enjoy that.
Right, right, right. So it's not a...
Some people like changing their own oil. I don't do that.
Is it a fuel efficiency thing? Is it a safety thing?
It is a fuel efficiency thing as well. Yeah. Because okay, I don't race people off the line, but I can save gas mileage just based on I shift before I get to 3,000 RPM a lot, especially in the city.
Is it that when you buy a car and it's a stick shift, but a normal car, they're like discounting it because it's a stick shift?
I don't know. Some cars, they'll actually price it up a little bit higher because it's more of like a novelty item at this point. But in other instances, yes,
right.
There are certain brakes that are given, but not a lot of cars have stick anymore. So I need one. I need one. I can't drive automatic. I will get bored.
But you can. But of course you can. In fact, it's substantially easier.
It is, but I get distracted more.
Hey, bro, that's a problem.
That's what I'm saying.
Fix that.
Give me a manual transmission.
No, fix the reason that you get excited or distracted.
Or why don't I just do what I like to do instead when it doesn't hurt anybody? I don't know. I mean...
Because you're holding us back. Because you're holding society back.
How are we holding society back?
Because you're not a race car driver and you're not a street racer.
Oh, I can save gas that way. Yeah. You can save gas.
So fuel efficiency is what you're going to hang your hat on.
Well, fuel efficiency is important.
Right.
Especially with gas now going up towards $3 a gallon.
I get you have more control over the car. I don't... I'm not...
You have more control and you have more control over the fuel efficiency as well. Like, if you're not like... Because you're talking about street racer thing really like redlining the sucker. Like, I'm not going anywhere near that. Like, I'm shifting like early, especially when I'm, you know, in Rockford here. Like, I'm shifting super early. That saves on gas. You're not using the... You're not making your engine run faster, basically. Uh-huh. That's what the RPM is.
Right.
You know, you're not making it, like, really go and work its tail off, so you're saving gas that way. I instead go to, like, fourth and fifth gear.
I want to hockey fight you so bad right now.
Go ahead,
Let's
dude.
Put us on skates.
Throw it down. That's fine.
We're going to get on skates. We're each going to grab each other's shirt. We're going to start throwing right hands. That's
you know
it.
What else it does, too?
What?
You would appreciate this about a stick. Instead of braking, you just downshift.
No, yeah, no, I get that that's part of... Driving a stick.
If someone's riding you.
Just downshift on them?
I don't know you in a car. I don't know how you react to things. Yeah. I just have this feeling that occasionally someone might get on your nerves if they're riding you.
Mm.
And I feel like if you had the power to just downshift without those brake lights like flashing in the back, just to really annoy that person right behind you. I think that you would appreciate the driving stick.
I would appreciate being in the passenger seat while you do that. I would appreciate that.
No, you
that.
Wouldn't. You'd be like, dude, just speed up, man. They're going to run us over.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, sportsfanrockford.com. We got a Rockford Lightning Round
all
coming
we
up
do.
Next. Don't go anywhere.
Do you know a varsity athlete who's making a positive contribution to the community? If so, we invite you to nominate him or her for our Student Athlete of the Week Award. Brought to you by Forest City Dental. Submit your nominee at sportsfanrockford.com.
It's the Rockford Lightning Round on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
I was close, man. I was close.
What do you mean?
I was trying to bring the microphone gently to my face because you had already turned the mics on, and I was belching. I got to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
It's the Rockford Lightning Round on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Take two.
Welcome back, Sports Fan Radio 1330, the Rockford Lightning Round. Jake and Jackson, the Full Court Press on with you until 5. How was that?
It was much better. I thought you were going to sneeze halfway through there, though.
No, never.
You kind of had that look on your face like you were going to lose it for a second.
Ha! Another guy chipping on Sandy Hollow wearing his Sunday Tiger red.
It's that time where we go around the world with all things sports.
Are you ready for a brand new beat?
Non-sports and... things that are going on and in our lives and beyond that we want to bring to you. We get a little weird, we get a little out there, or we keep it on subject. It all depends on what's going on in the world. You want me to go first still?
I do.
Okay. We'll keep it in the sports realm. The first one here. When the playoffs began, and when they begin in other sports, especially baseball and football, there are a lot of players that are used as analysts on these shows when their team isn't involved in the playoffs. Charles Barkley on TNT has been asking LeBron James to join those guys, and it's already a crowded room, but a very entertaining one nonetheless. LeBron yesterday responded with, "Sir Charles, I actually do have a ton going on, but I may take you up on your offer. We shall see," and that was on Twitter. Would this be a bad look for LeBron, given everything he's had going on this year and the struggles that not just him, but the Lakers have faced?
No, I think LeBron would be too good at that, and I think that'd be his problem. I think he's well beyond being able to join that panel. I think he would crush it, and people would just be upset about the fact how good he was at it. He doesn't need to do that. He's well, his business brand. Charles Barkley's done great for himself. I love Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley had to do TV. Like, LeBron doesn't have to do TV. His business dealings are already so far beyond that. So he's going to be great at it, and it will remind us how much bigger LeBron is than being on the panel at TNT.
Could it help his Q rating?
It can't get bigger. No way could it get bigger.
Really?
Again,
there's still a lot of LeBron haters.
LeBron doesn't need to. Q rating is a matter of your known, not your like.
I thought it was the like.
No. A Q rating is a matter of how well you're known, not a matter of how well you're liked.
Okay. LeBron James, would it help the likeness? Would it help the affinity for the LeBron James brand?
Probably. Because, again, it won't help his. It doesn't do anything to make him more known. It probably will cue people into how entertaining he is. Jackson, have you ever, when you go over to someone's house and you're just trying to save some data, you ask them what the Wi-Fi password is?
Yeah.
Over a quarter of people surveyed in the UK said it was impolite to ask for someone's Wi-Fi password.
Really?
This, according to a study in the UK, trying to figure out what you shouldn't do if you're a house guest or you're just visiting someone's house, you're going over. Let's see how many of these you agree or disagree. Don't assume you can go anywhere in the house. Some rooms could be off limits, like a bedroom or bathroom.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's.
I'm not going to go into someone's bedroom. You know, I'm not going to go into like their attic or something.
If you're staying for dinner, wash your hands before it. They'll think you're gross. Put the toilet seat down. No swearing, especially if they have kids. No phones at the dinner table. Use a coaster. Always flush the toilet. I don't know why that had to be said. No
really?
Shoes on the sofa and take your shoes off at the door. Do you always think to take your shoes off at the door?
Absolutely. Well, if I'm unsure.
To always default to yes.
No, I always default to what are they doing?
Yeah.
Because if they take their shoes off, mine are, you know, I'm already defaulting to I'm taking the shoes off at the door.
Like in a
group. But if I see that they're on and they're walking around or whatever in their shoes and they're already like well enough inside.
Group gathering, that's the benefit of being fashionably late. Those are one of those things you could get to pick up on.
True.
Bunch of other shoes at the door.
Very true. Kaku? He is a midfielder for Kansas City's MLS team.
Okay.
And he was so infuriated by the turn of events on the field that he did what plenty of us have probably done on the playground at one point or another. A ball was rolling in his direction. The play was whistled dead. He kicked the ball, you know, out of frustration. The problem was, he was by the sideline. The ball went directly into the stands and into the front row. And it hit a fan directly in the face. And this all went down an extra time, so they ejected him, but it didn't really affect much. And this happened. Well, let's just say that this happened in basketball. Hypothetically.
Yeah.
What do you think the punishment would be, and what do you think it should be, for someone who takes out their frustration on the ball, kicks it, goes into the front row, and almost knocks out a person in the front row?
Well, there's a little bit more velocity with the kick of the soccer ball. I think Steph Curry might have gotten in trouble for throwing a basketball into the stands.
Wasn't
once.
It a mouthpiece? Who threw a mouthpiece?
It was Kyrie who threw the ball. Steph threw a mouthpiece and hit a fan. But Kyrie, at the end of a game, chucked a basketball and went into the stands. Game suspension. If they got seriously hurt, pay for medical expenses.
If this were to, I don't know, man. Like, if a basketball was chucked into the front row and it hit someone square in the face who wasn't expecting it from a short distance away, I'm thinking at least a couple of games. I feel like it.
Yeah, one or two.
I don't know how much they're going to really suspend him. There hasn't been a suspension yet, but the MLS is looking into it. So is Kansas City. and their MLS team, the Red Bulls, I believe they're called. The fan is going to be fine, but regardless, you want to prevent something like this from happening in the future.
Survey asked people how they de-stress. Top three answers: watch TV or a movie. Your Jackson never watch a movie. That's only stressful for him.
Are you kidding me?
Talk to family or friends, and eat was number one. It's the number one way people de-stress. Not surprisingly, this survey was conducted in the U.S.
Whiskey wasn't on the list?
No, it was not. Why, are you wearing your whiskey t-shirt today?
That's more of a Friday shirt, you know what
I mean? Yeah. What did it say? Whiskey, work, and music?
Is that coffee.
Coffee, whiskey, and then right in the middle, very small, it said work.
So it's coffee, work, and then whiskey.
Yeah, perfect.
That's kind of the checklist for
what do they eat to feel less stressed? Chocolate, potato chips, and cookies. That's what Americans do to de-stress.
All at once.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
A little sweet, salty action?
Eh. I'm not into that.
No, of course not. You're a human being.
No. Is there more? There's not more.
Oh, no, there's not more to that. Just that's the top three things people eat to de-stress.
Well, what do you eat to de-stress?
Chocolate, potato chips, and cookies.
If you had to pick one of the three.
I've been known to house a bag of potato chips. That's more my
bag. What kind of potato chips are you going after?
Old Salties.
What flavor?
Normal.
Normal, like regular?
Yeah.
Like not barbecue, not...
Yeah, bro.
Sour cream and onion, not cheddar and sour cream.
What's your deal, huh?
You do dip or no dip? None of the French onion, no ranch, no nothing?
Why are you going after my snack choice?
Yeah, I'm not. I thought you were copying me. I do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't need dips. It's the great thing about Old Salties.
Oh, dude, you got to throw the French onion dip in there.
You could, but you don't
need it. Yeah, mix it in. A French onion soup mixed with some sour cream. Light sour cream
so you
give yourself an excuse to eat even more. Of course you go the dip route. Are you kidding me?
I want to eat so many potato chips that my mouth is dry. You know what I mean?
Authorities said they were alerted to a sports car driving recklessly, and when deputies tried to pull the car over, he sped up to 100 miles an hour. ABC Action News reported out of Miami. He allegedly turned off the car's lights, the car going 100 miles an hour, and continued on his way. His name is Molina. He was reportedly driving in the Florida Keys at mile marker 87 at 2:13 in the morning. He was eventually found at a gas station with a female passenger, said the report. He allegedly admitted to speeding, saying, quote, "The car is a Ferrari and it goes fast, officer," report said.
I wonder if it was a stick shift.
Guaranteed. But denied eluding authorities. He denied, you know, eluding the authorities. He said he was going fast. The female passenger allegedly told authorities that she told him to slow down after seeing the lights on the patrol car. She was not charged. Molina faces interesting charges. At 2:13 in the morning, fleeing and eluding law enforcement. But nothing more. 2:13 in the morning, outside of Miami, driving 100 miles an hour, eluding officers, and it's just eluding law enforcement. Were they able to get rid of anything in the car? Like, why would they do it then?
You know? I don't know.
What's the point?
I don't know, but I want to sign up to hang out with that guy more often. He seems like my kind of party. Jackson, you might have been using hand sanitizer wrong. You just warned me that there's a virus spreading through the office.
Why would I be? How do you use it wrong?
Well, if you're just putting a dab or two on your hand and rubbing it in a few seconds, you're doing it wrong because it should take longer than that. To kill all the bacteria in your hands, you have to put sanitizer on them, rub them together vigorously until they're totally dry, and it should last about 15 seconds. If it takes less than that, you're not using enough, and it's not killing all the bacteria.
Well, that and also your skin is completely drying out. You're cracking at that point.
Does sanitizer make your hands dry? And
any kind of hand soap, yeah, unless there's some like aloe in it or something.
Are you advocating against using hand soap?
No, I'm absolutely not. I'm just saying that, like, if you go crazy on the hand sanitizer, you keep doing that or whatever, especially in the wintertime, dude, your hands. You got to keep some, like, lotion and then sanitizer or, like, you know, whatever. You got to mix the two. That's just me. And that's your Rockford Lightning Round.
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jason
I always ask
Jackson.
That as a question. That's your Rockford Lightning Round?
I'm Ron Burgundy. We're back after this.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither do we. We are your state line home for the Chicago White Sox. Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Hey, I'm Jordan Gulpty with your sports update. Last night in the NBA, the 76ers used a big 51-point third quarter to propel them.
Sports Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake and Jackson, it's Full Court Press. God, you got me good. I wanted to clap along with John Fogerty. What's the big deal?
Who?
John Fogerty? Is it Fogerty?
There you go.
I want to sing with a guy from Clearance Clearwater Revival.
Yeah. Okay.
What else can I mispronounce?
Fan Sports Radio 1330. SportsmanRockford.com. Full Court Press. I took away those. That's a Jordan Gothy song. I'm not playing that anymore.
It is.
Yeah, it's such a morning one.
We started.
Save it for. I went into the Randy and Company folder. It's all right. 6 to 8.
Make sure you're starting your day with Randy and Company.
Yeah. No, it's a great sports show.
Did you know if you use the Sports Fan Rockford app, you can set an alarm to wake you up with Randy and Company?
I did not.
Sports Fan Rockford app. You click on the menu button on the left side of the screen, and you can. Oh, yeah, I'm streaming the show right now through my phone, and you can set an alarm to wake you up at a certain time with the Sports Fan Rockford app. I like to set mine for 6:15, something like that. Just wake up with Randy and Co.
And Jordan's written a few articles here, posted on sportsfanrockford.com.
Nah, who cares?
One on esports.
What does that mean?
Which I have a lot to learn about, but there is a growing community.
What about esports?
Yeah.
What'd you learn?
Well, I'm saying that on the app, you can, I've got a lot to learn. On the app, you have the blog posts that are up there, so you're able to also read.
No, but I mean, can
some of those.
So did you read the esports one?
Yeah, somebody threw punches after a 2K tournament. Like, somebody just turned and started, like, you know, punching the other guy for some reason.
A little bit of a fight?
Yeah, it's like, why are you doing that? You know, just do what any normal adult would do and just, you know, pull the plug out of the wall and have it reset.
Were you that guy? No. That would just rage quit?
When it got...
Someone's ahead two possessions late in the fourth quarter. He's like, nope, no, I guess we'll never know.
My best friend growing up was such a trash talker.
Yeah.
That I was pushed to that limit a couple of times. We're talking 7th, 8th grade.
The most powerful, we had just, like, people had just started turning 16. When that happens, someone has a car, you all of a sudden feel this great freedom to go and get... You know, food late at night, if you're going over to a friend's house, something like that, you go through that stage. And I was playing Xbox and playing Madden. I had one friend doesn't care about sports that much, doesn't really have the attention span for watching two other people play video games, and he wanted to go get food, and we decided after this game was done, we were going to go. And at some point, late in the game, it's close, he just walks up and unplugs the console and just says, let's go. And I wanted to be mad, but I just couldn't. I was like, that's just the most powerful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
would that have been enough to get a 16-year-old Rage Monster Jackson moment?
No.
No?
No, not if they didn't care.
No, if you were playing.
If I was playing.
And you were in a hotly contested game of Madden, 16, 17 years old, something like that, in your
no,
high school
no,
career.
No, no, no.
And another friend just comes up and unplugs the console.
Not that, no.
No? Doesn't get to you?
No, it was the constant, consistent, grating, annoying trash talk.
Oh, yeah. Don't play video games.
Where I'm not trying to, like, I wasn't trying to enter into one of those, you know, and it was worse than anyone I've ever seen. Like, you and I would go back and forth or whatever,
right. Yeah.
But this was just a nitpicking
not
every
funny.
Little thing that I was doing.
If it's not funny, then it's not.
There's a point where it's just like, okay.
There's a law of diminishing returns with constant trash talk.
There's a line there. Yeah.
You got to actually talk about something relevant. You can't just talk about everything that's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing cards with somebody and you're just like, all I need is a jack, lay down the jack or whatever, like trash talking that way or whatever. Or if you're saying like, I just need one card, show me that card, give me that card. If someone's got to discard something, you know what I mean? And it winds up being yours, that's acceptable. But if it's like every single play that's run, you know, that's a little bit too much. That was the only time that there was ever really a, like, rage monster moments. But these days, no, if somebody...
Gotta pay good money for one of those.
If somebody ever, like, pulled the plug while I was playing against somebody right now, it probably would have been saving me, so...
I'll tell you what, you can figure out if you're the sports expert and you can start rubbing it in people's faces if you go take our baseball IQ quiz. Jackson will tell you it's actually a tough quiz.
52%.
And you're a baseball guy. You're a baseball guy. You got 52%.
Yeah.
So you can score better than Jackson. I don't care what you score. You're still entered if you take the quiz for a $50 Visa gift card. Just cash, basically.
And these questions range from anything Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, Milwaukee Brewers, Nick 10. Am I missing anything?
Yeah, local baseball. It's all up for grabs.
Yeah, it's state line baseball and then some local in there as well. So you get to learn something for questions that you get wrong, but also you could win yourself a $50 Visa gift card, which could buy you a game that you could trash talk with your friends.
Perfect. Full circle. SportsFanRockford.com. Go to the win tab.
Such a professional.
See the link that says test your baseball IQ. Click on that bad boy and you'll get all set up.
What do we have coming up after 4?
Jim Boylan might get extended with the Bulls. The quiet have been talks about that over the last couple days. We'll talk about the reasons he should and shouldn't get that extension. The NBA playoffs also in full swing. Of the Bucks back tonight?
Yes.
They played Sunday, so it makes sense. I don't know. Maybe it's our job to know that
every
stuff.
Two. Yeah, I'm almost positive.
Sports
tonight.
Fan Radio 1330.
Ben Maller here. Even if you're a big-time basketball fan, there might be a few facts about the game you don't know. Like, did you...
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake and Jackson on the Full Court Press. Still 1 hour left for your phone call, 815-874-1330. That's 874-1330 if you want to be part of the conversation. We're ready for you. Jackson, I have a solution that would... we were talking about your need for another vehicle, and I was making fun of you because I think it's ridiculous that casual recreational driving is done with a stick shift. I don't see it. I don't have it.
That's fine.
I don't have it in my brain.
Yeah.
Can we at least settle on you getting paddle shifters for your next one? Just your pointer fingers, not having to do 3 pedals anymore. Just up and down shifting, just with your pointer fingers.
There are those that are out there. I've never tried one.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of weird.
Because you're not driving with 2 feet anymore, like a psychopath.
Yeah, give me a clutch, man.
Ride that clutch.
Yeah.
I only know how to roll with a clutch, because I had to move some, golf maintenance equipment, because there was always a big vehicle parked right in front of the big pile of sand to, replace divots with in the golf course. I had to go replace the bucket of sand every day, but I would have to move this one vehicle, and I had to know how to just work a clutch enough to roll that thing out of the way and then move it back into place.
That's, so you press it in?
Yeah, just press it in.
All right.
And not make it go...
That's half the battle.
Yeah. If I could avoid that, I did my job. I don't care how slow it moved.
So it was in gear, I imagine? There was no parking brake that was up?
That was my... I've been 3 years at this point. I couldn't even tell you.
Okay.
I just know that's my only experience with a 3-pedaled...
It was in gear.
Okay. ...motor vehicle.
Hey, that's cool. That's cool. That's
half
the battle.
We'll compromise. Just find something with the paddles on it. You can still upshift and downshift.
No.
And besides that, get out of my face. I don't have time for it.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll continue to...
Live my life.
Just do what I like to do. That's what I choose to do.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you're wrong.
I'd like to make things harder on myself.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. If that's the conclusion we're coming to, that you understand it's incredibly inefficient and ineffective, I'm good with that.
Super efficient.
Is it, though?
And it's more fun, so it's effective for me.
When I think of driving, though, I'm not thinking, when I'm driving from point A to B, I'm not thinking, how could I have the most fun.
No, you're probably thinking of a million other things. You've got a cheeseburger in one hand. You're
True.
Adjusting the music in another. You've
Correct.
Got the sunroof going. You're like, oh,
I don't
crap.
Have a sunroof.
What text message just got sent to me?
I'm very good about that. Those other things, I'm a sucker for driving by a fine food establishment, not pulling in and getting myself a big old cheeseburger. I've also been known to crank some tunes from time to time, but I never, ever... We'll be looking at text while I'm driving the car.
I had a Mustang for a short amount of time. It was an automatic.
I got a Mustang. It'll do 80. What's that song?
I don't know.
I had to look that
anyway,
up.
Anyway, I was parking in someone's driveway and did not put it into park. Went through the garage door.
No. Through the garage door?
It was just rolling. I mean, I crashed into the garage door.
Oh, okay. So the garage door won the battle.
The car won the battle with the garage door. It was rolling.
Yeah.
And so it was able to just indent the garage door.
Sure.
Enough to where you knew that something crashed into it. It just wasn't right. And since then, I'm kind of like, I like being able to let go of the brake and only having gravity tell me if I'm going to move anywhere. But that's just me.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good story.
Well,
have I not heard that story before?
Well, that's how I arrived at also wanting to learn how to do stick shift.
Okay. Listen, I'm good with you living your life however you want to live it. I just want to come to the conclusion that you understand that there's no real reason for it.
Fuel economy and fun.
Yeah, okay. See, I shouldn't have offered up the fuel economy because now you're hanging your hat on it.
Two football notes here real quick.
Yeah.
Zach Miller.
Yeah.
Former tight end for the Bears. I say former. They were paying him, which was an awesome move and a gesture for the Bears while he was trying to recover from the gruesome leg injury that he had. He has announced his retirement from the NFL. And also, Demaryius Thomas is signing with the New England Patriots, which
he's going to be so good.
I feel is an incredible move for them to replace Josh Gordon last year. And people might think that, you know, last year was kind of a struggle for him, and it was. He had his career low.
He got traded, and then he got hurt.
His lowest amount of receiving yards since 2012. But I'll just give you the quick rundown here from 2012 on. This is the yards totals. 1434, 1430, 1619, 1304, 1083, 949.
Yikes.
And 949 was with, was it Trevor Siemian? Case Keenum? What good, whoever it was.
Nope.
And we're looking at reception numbers of 94, 92, 111, 105, 90, and 83. Going to a team with Tom Brady.
Yep.
I don't care if he's 41. It's a hell of a weapon.
Yeah, I don't know how wide receivers, they fall off the map so hard and get so devalued so fast. It's incredible. Like a guy that was so good 2 years ago can be viewed as just an irrelevant piece of the NFL now. It happened with, he was really good for the Texans, had a couple years in Indianapolis.
Andre Johnson
fell off the face of the earth. Vincent Jackson, same thing. So good in San Diego, Tampa, and then all of a sudden just gone forever. Now with Demaryius Thomas all of a sudden signing a show-me deal with the Patriots. Dez Bryant. All these guys that were at one point where these are the X-factors and the game breaks in the NFL, then just immediately go, meh, who was never really that good. What?
Greg Jennings
is another one in that line. I'll agree to that. What is it about that position where even though it hasn't been devalued as much as the running back position, the guy's time at the top is so short?
Because when you lose half a step, you've lost everything. Part of what makes those guys so good is their ability to get off the line. They might still be able to win a battle with their strength off a press. But if you are running down the sideline and someone is not a yard or two behind you anymore and they're running in lockstep, the window becomes that much smaller, the amount of targets becomes that much less, and the amount of actual catches that you make on some of those big plays that you used to make are no longer there. So if you lose just a little bit as a wide receiver, and a lot of it is speed, you've lost almost everything.
But there's definitely a trend of locking up your stud wide receiver. The Packers did it with Devontae Adams. Is that going to go the way of the running back where it's not injury related like the running back thing is? Their injuries cut careers short all the time. Wide receiver, it's just your time at the top is going to be severely cut due to the natural regression of speed and how important that is. And we're going to see the same thing happen with the wide receiver position where teams are going to go, that's not where we're going to allocate our funds to overpay a player. We're going to have to overpay to someone. We're going to do it on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to do it with our edge rushers, with our linebackers. We're not going to do it with skill guys anymore.
You could throw Jordy Nelson in that one pile too, just going back to the previous. Jordy Nelson going to the Raiders was not the touchdown machine that he was with Green Bay.
Well, he wasn't for 3 years with Green Bay, you know what I mean?
He was hurt the 1 year, came back and had a lot of touchdowns, but not a lot of big production. He was no longer the guy that was in back of the cover two, just wide open on a play action play anymore, like he was, you know, throughout most of his career. But anyway, I could see it maybe going that way, but it's different between possession type receivers versus the speed guys, the ones that need to get open. If those guys get hurt, then they're no longer as fast. And at the wide receiver position, plenty of injuries do occur. Over time, those injuries start to pile up. A lot of them you see foot and knee and leg and thigh and hamstring and all that stuff. That is certainly going to affect them. But also, if there's some sort of like possession type receiver that could still get off the line and has like the ability to catch at any point in a tight window, those guys seem to last for quite a while.
Dean Irvin was making fun of my haircut there in the window. Jackson, that's what you missed. Gotcha. Looking over there. He was just running his hands through his bald head, making fun of all the hair the kid has on his head right now. Went short on the sides, real long at the top. Dean likes making fun of it. I don't blame him. It looks silly.
Okay.
You were kind of peering over, like, what are you looking at?
No, I just, yeah, I got a monitor in the way, and I'm like, what's going on?
What am I missing, guys? I'm missing out on the fun. Yeah, and then moving back to the Zach Miller thing, good for the Bears for keeping him on contract so they could help him with the medical expense.
Super generous of them to do it, especially when he's going through the toughest point in his life in this rehab, I can imagine was excruciating.
Yeah, I'm excited the guy can walk, no problem. Quality of life seems to still be there, but, you know, he can probably go pursue something else. I don't know if I would even... if he felt like he'd come back, like I would advocate for him to do it with my team. I'd be like, yeah, listen, if you really want to do that, we'll let you out of your contract and you can go pursue that. But I'm not sure I want to be responsible for him coming back and creating more catastrophic damage after he got so lucky the first time.
Yeah, and it's really bad luck for him because wasn't it a touchdown that...
Oh, got called back, and it was a touchdown, no question.
And he held onto the ball.
Insane. It was the craziest catch I've ever seen in your life. Your knee gets ripped to shreds.
And
nerve damage
held
everywhere.
On.
And he held on to the football, and the NFL says, nope, not a catch. He was holding.
Something that happened on that play. But yeah, I mean, that happened to Zach Miller. It happened to Johnny Knox a couple years ago, too.
That was a spinal thing, though.
It was, where he was kind of bent backwards in a way that
it
just isn't right. And I believe he was able to recover, but that guy was ascending into becoming a pretty solid wide receiver. If they just put a good quarterback around him for a couple of years, he might have had a great career. But it sucks watching these kinds of injuries happen. I'll never forget Sterling Sharp when I was young, man. That was, growing up, that was my favorite player. And it just took one weird hit, and he was no longer able to play in the NFL anymore. These things happen to wide receivers. So you really, in time, when you go back and see the records that were set by players like Jerry Rice, it's like the longevity is such a huge part of it, and it just creates even more respect for those guys.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, we got to talk some Chicago Bulls basketball article.
Do we have to,
though? Jim Boylan.
Do we have to talk about Jim Boylan?
We don't have to. What else do you want to talk about?
Let's move away from the Bulls for, I don't know, 6 months or so.
Okay, I'm in.
You're okay?
Jackson's going to tell us where we're going to go next. I'm looking forward to it. Where are we going to go? Talk about the Warriors? We're going to talk about hockey? We're going to talk about the Sox more? We can talk about the White Sox some more? No Bulls for 6 months. They're going to lose the lottery, and we're not going to talk about them.
They are going to lose the lottery.
I'm in. I'm with you.
Enjoy Jared Culver.
It's going to be great. Enjoy Jared Culver in the summer.
It's
getting
going to
excited
be great.
It's going to be. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, we're just going to miss. We're going to miss the entire draft. We're going to miss the lottery. We're just not talking Bulls.
I'll sign up with that. I'll sign up for that with you.
Because what do you really want to talk about with them?
I don't know.
Lauri Markkanen better this year than he was last year.
All right, so it's April 16.
Yeah.
October 16, that's when we can talk about the Bulls next?
Yeah, right before the season starts, we'll do a preview. Hey, who's still on the team? Oh, Mark Cannon. Okay, cool.
Is that Mark Cannon guy?
Yeah.
That Mark Isaiah Cannon guy?
Zach LaVine is still there. There's no Jay Parker. Parker's gone. And we'll just we'll do our season preview then.
I can't wait for the Bulls fan that has been watching all year. And he goes, oh, where'd Jabari go? I was looking forward to watching him in the Bulls.
All right, I guess you can fill me in on this Jim Boylan article that you were looking at.
I'm kind of in favor of the six-month moratorium, not the more I think about it.
Well, we're doing pretty well on Addison Russell because we set the moratorium on not talking about him whatsoever.
Oh, God. Now, you laid the hammer down on the Addison Russell. You're like, I'm not talking about it. I was like, okay.
We were done
sense.
For a little while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was, we've been pretty good, right?
I certainly haven't thought about him much.
It's been a couple of months.
It's probably coming up here soon, his 30-game suspension, right?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it. We'll give it one more run through with Jim Boylan and the article that you're talking about. And if it's frustrating, we might have to put like a 1 month ban on the Bulls.
And we'll move right to Addison Russell. That'll be uplifting everyone.
Nah, we'll talk Warriors or something then, right?
Sports Fan Radio 1330. Jake and Jackson, we're back after this.
The team needs a timeout. We'll get back to the Full Court Press on Sports Fan Radio 1330. Now, back to the Full Court Press with Jake and Jackson.
Stephen Noe of The Athletic put up a great piece this week titled, What's the Point of the Bulls Extending Jim Boylan? Pretty simple question. Delves
I kind of like this article already.
In detail into the why the Bulls might be considering it. And most importantly,
capital letters on the why.
Yeah, why?
Why?
What other things might be working against them if they decide not to? Looks like there's going to be multiple teams looking for a new coach. A lot of teams looking like they can improve or feel like they can. And when you really look at the season of, as a whole for Jim Boylan, and Noah points this out, I mean, all the soothing talk of legacy and trust in what they're doing sounds great, but the team was 22-60, and frankly, a lot of your best players didn't have big steps forward. Zach LaVine maybe looked like he was worth the money if he does plays at his best consistently, which kind of came and went throughout the course of the season. Lauri Markkanen was certainly, in comparison to how he exceeded expectations his rookie year, did not take an equal step in impressing in year two, although that happens to a lot of players. Wendell Carter Jr. missed a significant amount of time with a thumb injury. He got shut down early for the season. And it's referenced in there the point that right behind Tom Thibodeau, amongst a player poll conducted by The Athletic, Jim Boylan is the second coach named in the list by players for coaches they wouldn't want to play for.
Really?
There was so much damage done by that near coup the Bulls almost threw on Jim Boylan the first week of his tenure as the head coach. He is second on the list of least liked NBA coaches. The question was phrased as, what coach would you least like to play for? Tom Thibodeau was in first place. Jim Boylan was in second place.
Yikes. That's damning.
That gives you an idea, league-wide, the guy you would be committing to long-term if you decided to extend Jim Boylan. You are committing wholeheartedly to whatever you have right now in your building and whatever you're going to draft this year as the team you're going to win championships with, because there's no way in hell you are ever going to attract someone to come into your organization with one of the widely viewed least competent front offices in the NBA and one of the least liked coaches in the NBA. That is a recipe for utter disaster, and you better hope Zach LaVine still has 20%, 25% of a higher ceiling to reach. Lauri Markkanen has 75% a higher ceiling to reach, and this next guy that you bring into the draft is a once-in-a-generation type player. Otherwise, your plan is bunk.
There were some injuries at the end of the year.
22-60.
That was the record throughout the course of the year. Do you know how well Jim Boylan did?
Well, he was the assistant coach on this team for whatever he wasn't the head coach for. It's hard to say. 17-41.
That's not even as good as the last Jim Boylan that the Bulls employed in the 2008 season. He went 24-32. Now, I know that there were some injuries, but it was telling right away when the team didn't go on a little bit of a run when the coaching change was made. Typically you see a shakeup in the head coaching position and you see a spark from the team. That didn't happen. Longer practices grated on the players and also became fodder for other teams that came in with sub 500 records and beat you on your home floor. It was embarrassing, and it's been embarrassing. And they went on a little stretch in February, I believe, where they played 500 ball. But aside from that, that's the only bright spot. You've got a young core who didn't get too much better, and now you're going to roll with a guy who went 17-41, and you're going to extend him for the next 3 years because he is your guy. I don't see it, and I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, I mean, and I could even wrap my head around all of this. If Jim Boylan hasn't said verbatim multiple times that he is trying to go opposite on the offensive end of everything the NBA stands for right now. He just said recently, Fred was trying to get three-pointers. I'm trying to get paint touches and paint drives. Jim, I got bad news. I like slashing basketball as much as the next guy. I like it. That's not where the league's at. That's not where your talent is at right now. If you're trying to get the best players in the league, they don't play basketball that way. And if you proved your competence with performance of your system this year, that going opposite of the approach can be successful because no other team's prepping for it, I could get on board with that. But your team got smoked more often than it won this year. And on the defensive side of the ball, which is supposedly your specialty, your team still doesn't play hard. You just grind on them more, and they look tired at the end of the game.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing about this was successful. And now John Paxson's going to come down and say, well, we're so impressed with the job Jim's done. There is a point to where John Paxson, Gar Foreman are so closed off from the rest of the NBA because everyone's around them is saying, you're bad at your job. And of course, no one wants to believe they're bad at their job. They have closed off all outside voices, and they are talking to each other in this echo chamber-like fashion that all it does is create...
Where everybody says positive things about one another.
And everyone is so convinced that they're right because they're not accepting anything from the outside because all of it's negative. And no one wants to hear negative stuff. If everyone around us was saying, your show stinks, we'd eventually just talk to each other about how good of a job we think we're doing. We think we're doing all right. Yeah, because you're not listening to the people around you. And that's what the Bulls have going on. They have this tight little bubble, this three-headed monster of Jim Boylan, Gar Foreman, and John Paxson. They've all convinced each other how their plan is so bulletproof. Meanwhile, everything around them says the house is burning. The this is fine dog gif has never been more accurate. Everything around you.
Oh, for years now with that thing. For years. That whole organization has been on fire and the three guys are just sitting there.
But there's always been a saving. There's always been a redeemable quality, whether it's having Derrick Rose or having Tom Thibodeau and having great regular season records or Jimmy Butler.
Or Lewalding, Kirk Heinrich. Yeah, like young core. That's what they fall back on. At least we have these guys who can develop into top five players.
There's been a redeeming quality. Do I feel like Lowry, Markkanen, and Zach LaVine are like that? No. So hopefully this is a boiling point. Hopefully this is a fever pitch. But it sure looks like, I mean, if you're going to replace front office, you do it before a month out from the draft lottery. That ship sailed. This crew's back.
Right. You're not going to fire him after the draft.
Of course not. Of course not.
It's also tough to, well, not so much in basketball because there's a lot less that you have to scout in terms of a draft being only two rounds and some undrafted guys that probably won't find the end of your bench. But it's also not great. There's not really a good time to get rid of a front office guy, even after the season, because then it just makes the next guy that comes in all that more busy to try to catch up with everything and to create his own scouting on all the people that are out there for the draft. I don't know. But if they're trying to extend Jim Boylan, that tells me that John Paxson and Gar Foreman are going to be there for the next 3 years or as long as Jim Boylan is. And that doesn't frustrate me anymore. Certainly doesn't make me happy.
You come to terms with it?
Apathy.
You don't care about the Bulls.
It's not that I don't care.
That's what apathy is.
I just know that this isn't going to get any better. I watch it because I love basketball. I'm going to still pay attention. And I'll still turn on the games because I like some of the players. But this is just...
Which players do you like?
On the Bulls? It's always fun to watch Zach LaVine get in an open floor in transition. That's fun. I think when he's hitting three-pointers, he's one of the more exciting players that have been on the team in the last couple of years. I like Lauri Markkanen. He's different than anybody else in the league, and I feel like he keeps proving me wrong when I think that he's got a ceiling, and then he just keeps on getting a little bit better and a little bit better. Otto Porter was a nice piece.
Corner threes, baby!
I'm not huge on the player himself.
Yeah.
It's 26 mil, albeit it doesn't matter. It's not my money. Wendell Carter Jr. looked all right. I'm not in love with any of the players, if that makes sense. Like, if they got Ja Morant, who I found to be exciting from the limited times I watched him, then I'd be really interested. Zion Williamson, of course.
Zion and Ja are the two that would really spark your interest in a new level.
I'd be back in, but this... And it's really... been close to apathy ever since a couple years ago when the two guys, when Garpax came out there and said, we want to get younger and we want to get faster. And it was Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo and it right. Made the playoffs. Great. But like, that's totally contradicting what you're talking about. But and the team was not good.
But that again, the Fred Hoiberg model at least made sense to me. All right. You're going in with a young coach. You're saying, and you seem to understand the way the NBA is moving. Your actions didn't back it up. But at least it felt to me like you were
evolving basketball.
Understanding where the game is at.
Yeah.
And now they're going totally opposite it.
Well, no, I like the Jim Boylan model. The problem is two-pointers are not worth the same as three-pointers. Yeah, sure. Attack the weakness of every other team because there are no big men that stop you anymore. So if you're going to get the paint, go ahead, bully. You're still bringing a knife to a gunfight. You going to keep up with Golden State? They're just bombing threes. They don't care if they're up 25. They're bombing threes on you. You're going to keep on attacking the paint, huh?
It burned them yesterday, though.
Well,
a 31-point lead was gone.
Well, that's some... that's some lackluster defense. I mean, after a while, they become bored, man. Like, Golden State's so good
also,
that they can kind of become bored, and that's sort of what happened.
Also, they seem to be reeling from the fact that Boogie Cousins had to get helped off the floor. The Warriors confirmed today DeMarcus Cousins tore his right quad, so he will be out for the remainder of the playoffs.
It's a huge loss, but it's a team that's won the whole entire thing without Boogie Cousins, so this is kind of that wake-up call for them.
And, I mean, it was such a story when he first signed with the Warriors. Like, oh, my God, it's so insane the Warriors have Boogie. And it's kind of – it's a little bit upsetting that we never seem to really see it
right
in full fruition in that way, because you just kind of wondered, like, what would that look like just for the novelty of it. But, you know.
In the end, there's still just one ball.
If they lose – if they can squander a 31-point lead to the Clippers at home, maybe they don't get – the finals. They got to go through a couple other good teams in the West. You got to go through the Rockets in round two if they take care of business.
It's like they lost the drive. They got that big enough lead and they felt like that was enough of a cushion for them subconsciously just to take the rest of the game a little easy, because you saw Lou Williams was in there missing layups off the rim, getting his own offensive rebound, going up untouched and, like, you know, putting it back in. I mean, there was no down low presence after Cousins left.
Well, it's symbolic of their whole organization, right? You're so overblown by success that eventually you just can't help but take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. You don't have that drive anymore. You win so much. I mean, what's your motivating factor?
Well,
when you're so much better than everyone.
During the regular season, it's like, okay, well, they lost their 9 games or 10 games or whatever, so they're not going to break the regular season record. So then their record looked a little bit worse. The Denver hung in there for quite a while, and you're wondering, oh, is Golden State done? And every time you thought that they were, they'd come out with a game where they'd win by 35. And it's like, no, they're still there. They're just not as motivated every single game anymore. And I get that, because they've played a lot of games over the last few years. This thing is nearing an end, but I gotta believe that they've got one more run in them.
Short of a championship, though, maybe, well, there's a double side of the coin, right? You could either say early exit forces the breakup. Durant leaves. You have Thompson coming up for a contract. You got to pick one or the other. Or does the loss in embarrassing fashion motivate them to stay together and to get back and win another title?
It's also another good point. I guess it depends on if they make it to the finals and lose, or if they make it to the Western Conference Finals and someone knocks them off their perch. I think if they lose in the Western Conference Finals, or if they go down 3-1 again or something. But this is also the team that's not like, yeah, guys, you know what? We lost. Let's stay together or whatever. They've been the team that over the last couple of years, it's just like, hey, KD, hey, you're not happy down there. Come join us. We're going to make a run at this LeBron guy, you know? So I don't know how.
Oh, no, they beat LeBron and then got Durant.
You're right, and I'm totally.
Well, no, they beat LeBron, then had the greatest season in the history of basketball without Durant, lost right to LeBron in the finals, then said, hey, let's go get KD. After we win 73 games in the regular season, blow a 3-1 lead, then
and it
we
was,
go get
and
KD.
It was KD that went down. Or that was up 3-1, and then Golden State ended up coming back, and then he joined. I had that mixed up.
Two consecutive years, Durant puts a dagger through Cleveland at their home floor on the same side of the court at the same spot. In consecutive finals.
It's crazy. But I don't see them being the team that's just like, we got to stick together, guys. We got to, you know, I think Durant's probably, it's either Durant or Clay. I mean, Durant's probably the one that's going. If anyone's going to stay there, it's going to be Clay.
Well, I tried to make myself believe that the Bulls would reset and they could make whoever was in the new GM could make a run at Klay Thompson this upcoming summer. Sure looks like that won't be an option.
Dude, it's fun watching Golden State basketball. You can love them or you can hate them. But then to go back to the Bulls conversation where it's like, this is just going to continue. Like, they're still going to be there. It's hard to talk about different angles and ways that they can get better when it's still the same two guys that have been there. Well, the same leader and the same mouthpiece that's been there for about 17 or 18 years. Rebuild number 3 or rebound number 4. I mean, I'm hoping...
It's 2, according to him.
He inherited 1. But that started with his draft. But whatever. I mean, semantics, I guess, John. Whatever Reinsdorf believes is going to keep you there, that's fine. Part of me is really hoping they get John Morant because he's the easiest fit into this team, like an Otto Porter type. Or Zion, of course. But anyone short of that, shouldn't that just be your opening? Just to say, all right, guys, we appreciate everything that you've done for us here as an organization. Like, I wouldn't mind if right after the draft, Reinsdorf was just like, okay, going into next year, we're going to move in a different direction here. You guys can now be president of whatever operations, and we're going to bring somebody else in here.
Sports Fan Radio 1330, your home for State Line Sports, 815-874-1330 if you want to be part of the conversation. I'm Jake. He's Jackson. We're back after this.
Even if you're a big-time basketball fan, there might be a few facts about the game you don't know. Like, did you know the first hoops were actually peach baskets?
Sports Fan Radio 1330, Jake and Jackson on the Full Court Press. Another fifth day, another chance for Ronaldo Lopez to turn his season around. He starts tonight for the Southsiders inside Guaranteed Rate Field, taking on counterpart Jorge Lopez for the Kansas City Royals.
That Lopez game, versus Lopez.
That game at 7:10 tonight. It's pregame 6:35 right here on Sports Fan Radio 1330 on the AM dial. Is this the night Ronaldo Lopez gets his life together, Jackson?
This is the day where Ronaldo Lopez gets the first W of his season.
And what is the path to get there?
Well, he's got to keep the ball down because he has been hurt.
I'd recommend throwing it in the strike zone.
Yeah.
I was making fun of myself for asking a dumb question there.
He's been missing up in the strike zone a lot, and sure, that's where he's been destroyed. Irvin Santana ran into that issue yesterday, was able to at least corral that three or four innings in, but Ronaldo Lopez, throughout the course of the first couple of starts, he has been beat up high in the zone, trying to get the ball down. If he can do that, he should be able to shut down Kansas City.
Well, the Royals are not necessarily a really good ball club right now. They're 5-11. I guess the White Sox are 6-9, so not that much better. But
the Royals have already lost 10 in a row so far this year.
That you let beat up on you early in the year, or in the opening series. So now this is your kind of chance to get a little bit of comeuppance. If you were to take care of the sweep, you'd be an 8-9 ball club by the time it was all said and done. Hey,
that'd be good going into Detroit and getting towards that 500 mark at the end of April.
Like we said, the teams you're going to play the most all look terrible. Now, luckily for Cleveland, they'll be getting back Francisco Lindor and also Jason Kipnis, who was an all-star at some point. So a couple of worthwhile players coming back into the Indians lineup.
And their bullpen's been a lot better than last year, too. They have been, I believe, third right now in the major leagues for ERA and not allowing a whole lot. That's kind of surprising. Don't know if that's going to normalize or if they just improved and some of their younger players were able to take that next step. But early returns on the Cleveland Indians, part of the reason why they've been so good is because they're able to shut people down on the back end.
And the Minnesota Twins currently in first in the AL Central because they don't play as many games as everyone else in April because everyone gets snowed out in Minnesota.
It's really smart to build an outdoor stadium in Minneapolis. I'm not sure if you understand this.
Yeah, well, but the season happens during the summer, right? False. Half of it's in the spring and fall, you dummies. Huh.
So that's crazy. There's no retractable roof to kind of keep that precipitation in.
They did it in Milwaukee for that reason. You couldn't figure it out that much further north.
They did it in Toronto, all right? That's not that much further north. Or maybe it is. But, yeah, that was dumb when it originally happened. I imagine the Target Field is a pretty place. It looks that way on TV. I've never been. A
couple of friends live in Minneapolis. They love going when it's a nice day.
Yeah, we just need to get some more nice days out there.
And thanks to climate change, they will get more.
In time, this is going to work. They're playing the long game with it.
Now that's genius.
Yes.
They're playing the long game in Minneapolis.
Right.
It might stink now, 30 years from now.
Just give it a little bit of time. Your kids are going to enjoy the
In the time in which we built two more stadiums, it'll start to pay off.
When people from the South are going to start moving north, they're going to find that Minneapolis is the perfect place to play baseball.
What's the average lifespan of an MLB stadium?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Wrigley and Fenway kind of throw that average. Those two outliers right there are going to make that average go a lot higher than it probably is.
This written after Atlanta shut down Turner Field. As Turner Field shuts down,
that lasted for like 20 years.
MLB ponders is 20 years the new stadium lifespan.
It happens once? Is that the new thing?
The time frame in which teams will start looking at whether they should rebuild and remodernize?
Look, I'd love for them to just take a bunch of cranes, pick up Guaranteed Rate Field, and turn it clockwise so it's got the rest of the skyline in the background as opposed to just whatever's going on out there on that other side of Chicago.
Back down in Miami, it will be Jose Quintana's chance to turn and string together two good starts in a row. And
man, by good, you mean great.
Do they need quality starts out of their starting pitching?
And they also need to sweep the team that they're playing up against, because Miami is no bueno. And you could see that yesterday. They have trouble catching and throwing the ball all around the field. That lineup doesn't really scare you. So Quintana could be in line for another good start. I was surprised that he got 11 the last time around. If he gives you 6 or 7 strikeouts, limits the amount of walks, limits the amount of base runners, and gives you 6 innings or 7 innings, that's a great start.
In the NBA playoffs, you have the Raptors and the Magic. After the Magic surprised in Game 1 and took that from the Raptors, Toronto will have a chance to take Game 2 and try to not put themselves way on their heels going back down to Florida.
They're
10.5-point favorites tonight, the Toronto Raptors.
Was it Nate Robinson against the Pacers in the playoffs? Who did the Bulls play the year that Nate Robinson went nuts?
The Brooklyn
for
Nets,
one
maybe.
Game? That was the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, right. That's what that reminds me of. The Magic had their fun or whatever, but a 10.5-point spread isn't going to deter me from taking Toronto in that one.
San Antonio got Game 1 over Denver.
Well, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm Brett and Fred every time. Bet on yourself. Bet on Rockford.
Good hometown call there.
No, no question.
All right.
What am I going to do? Not bet on them? I don't know about 10.5. I mean,
could be close. That's what I'm asking you, 10.5.
Yeah, I'll probably hammer him 10.5.
All right, 10.5.
Yeah. I love Kawhi. I love Fred. The Raptors are my squad. I love Kyle Lowry. I love Fred. I love Kawhi. What do you want from me?
Well, it's cool that the Magic are there, and they got their win.
They got Marc Gasol, another Jake pick in the NBA. They got a lot of things that really...
I didn't know you were a Marc Gasol guy.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Why is that?
Just underrated. Got overlooked because he was in Memphis for so long, but very good. Not respect because his brother's Powell.
Okay. I can see that. But yeah, extremely underrated. I agree with you. Didn't realize that you were so high on him.
We got to talk shop more in the NBA. Yeah. Maybe if the Bulls were so bad, and we could talk about them.
Yeah, I'm also only kidding about, not wanting to talk about the Bulls for 6 months.
Spurs and Nuggets. Spurs took Game 1. Denver, a 7-point favorite in their home arena tonight.
Now that everybody's kind of gone, except for Pop.
Yeah.
Is it kind of cool to root for San Antonio?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm all in on Denver. I want to see Denver and Warriors in the playoffs. Those games were very good in the regular season. I want to see how they fare. Is Denver ready for big time moments in the postseason? Probably not, but I want them.
I don't think they are.
Of course they're probably not, but they could be.
They spent a lot of energy in the regular season.
Those 2010 Bulls teams make me want to believe a team like this can take down the megalith in the playoffs.
So if Denver does it and they end up going to the finals, then we can look back fondly on the Bulls and say if they just had one more year with those knees.
Its knees just held up one more
just
time.
Just one more year.
Yeah.
Butler would have been better. Bogans would have been gone. Bulls would have beat LeBron.
Portland took Game 1 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're only a 1-point favorite at home in the Moda Center tonight. That's a 9:30 tip. Man, is this a good Jake Stick game for me. Thunder, Russ and Dame in Portland, 9:30 start. Sign me up for that.
This might be the best first-round matchup.
Probably.
Out of anybody. Give me Portland.
I love it. I love it. Dame time. Game time. I love it. Also, tonight is the first night you should be betting the Tampa Bay Lightning because they're going to win 4 in a row. And it was grooved by the fact that...
That's a bit crazy.
Barry Melrose said he thinks the Blue Jackets are going to complete the sweep tonight. Made me so much more confident that
fans view him?
Is going to pull the reverse sweep.
How do hockey fans really, truly view...
I don't know. I would imagine it varies from view person to person, but I just always view him as like the only person who... Like, people who don't know hockey would consider Barry Melrose an expert because he's the most used guy on the most popular network.
Like me.
Correct. And he gets a lot of stuff wrong. Or I think his takes on a lot of hockey things are not correct. He was, like, a terrible coach in the NHL, and he's got funny hair, and he wears funny jackets, and he gets used all the time. Because,
wasn't he a coach, like, within the last 10 years for a little bit?
Maybe he had a stat within the last 10 years. That seems right. But he's been on ESPN
17 games
for the last
something.
Handful, and because the two anchors that talk, Steve Levy loves him,
yeah,
and Buchagras loves him because he's entertaining, so they talk to him all the time. So I was like, that's the hockey expert.
Right.
That's the guy I know. He also loves the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks fans give him way too much respect. But when he usually says something, I like to fade it. I like to fade Barry Melrose.
But he's also somewhat of a, just by default and based on what people have on their televisions, he's sort of an ambassador for the sport. And so you have to appreciate him for that.
A little bit.
Like, he helps bring attention because he is somewhat entertaining when he's talking and helps me at least kind of figure out who's good and who's not. So you have to kind of respect him for that a little bit. Yeah, I mean, there's some people like that in media.
I'm trying to think of what the cop is.
Daryl Waltrip in NASCAR.
Dick Vitale.
Okay.
Like, how much do you respect Dick Vitale's analysis?
Not much. Character.
That might be a little closer. He's not as much of a character as Dickie V is, but same kind of vein there.
Maybe it's because Dick Vitale is so over the top, and he knows that he's playing Dick Vitale every time he's going on screen.
Right.
That I don't trust a lot of what he says. I just know that he's there because it's a big-time matchup.
Maybe Lou Holtz.
What?
Lou Holtz in college football.
Does he do that all the time?
The Crimson Tide? Yeah, he has a lisp.
Is that more exaggerated than... I guess I haven't noticed it as bad.
He doesn't as much as... He's just kind of shishes. Kind of shishes the ass. Let me tell you about Alabama Crimson Tide. Yeah, kind of shishes it together a little bit.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
I could hear that.
There's a little bit of Marvel mouth going on there.
All right. There's some older guys that have just been around for a while, so they become these mouthpieces for the sports.
Yeah, kind of.
And I can understand what you're saying with Barry Melrose, but seems like a nice guy.
We'll get
still rocks the mullet in 2019.
Tremendous mullet. Tremendous head of hair. Sports Fan Radio 1330. We'll wrap up the show, get some scorching hot takes, get you out of here. Dean Irvin will get you through your drive home from 5 to 5:30. I'm Jake. He's Jackson. It's the Full Court Press.
Hey, I'm Jordan Gulfley with your sports up.
Taking you home on this Tuesday, White Sox baseball tonight, 6:35 pregame, then the first pitch with Ed and DJ at 7:10, Ronaldo Lopez on the bump for the Southsiders, and he will be throwing out the first pitch since the Sox are at home. Jackson, you feel like this is the day he gets his life together.
I feel like he probably has his life together pretty good, but as far as the game tonight, I think he'll be able to at least shut down Kansas City enough to where the White Sox will win two in a row.
Well, we end every show.
And four of their last five.
We end every show with some scorching hot takes. It's a bold opinion, a bold projection, bold prediction. Something that other people are afraid to say. Jackson and I, we're not afraid of anything. And Jackson, I can see you looking up at the ceiling in a pensive manner. Makes me think.
This air conditioning was turned on an hour ago, if you're just tuning in.
Yeah. And you're putting your neck on it. Is that
I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that you are too, a little bit.
Oh.
It's nice and comfy. Anyway.
Oh, do you mean just putting you to sleep because it's so good?
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we should be more uncomfortable in the studio. But I usually think hot puts me to sleep. So that's why in the summer I get real sleepy when we don't have good AC in here.
Really?
Yeah. I find heat makes me more drowsy. If it's cold, I can stay awake longer.
This is just kind of a natural fan. Like, I could fall asleep right here like this. Dean doesn't have to come in, does he?
Do you sleep with a white noise machine? You that guy?
No,
needs,
I don't have to be.
Need some kind of noise?
Nah, no. Dead silence and darkness is fine with me.
Hello, just darkness, my old friend.
Dark soul.
Yeah, exactly. Jackson, what you got?
Tonight we mentioned it's Lopez versus Lopez. And we've been waiting for Eloy Jimenez to hit his third home run after he hit two of them in Yankee Stadium for the very first time. Jorge Lopez, if you're a Brewers fan, you know he's the guy that's been around for several years. Came to the Royals last year, now has the lowest ground ball percentage of his entire career. He's given up more fly balls now than he ever has. And in those fly balls, he's giving up a higher home run percentage. Top three in his career right now. Ball's kind of flying around. It's coming to guaranteed right field. That's a bad recipe. Eloy Jimenez not only gets one, but two more home runs tonight.
Two more home runs from Eloy. Those red, gloved, beautiful hands throwing balls into the stratosphere. It's my favorite sight. Well, not my favorite, but
it's good.
It's good.
Okay. It's fine.
I lied. It's not my favorite.
That's okay. Exaggerated.
I'm a fan of hyperbole. Like me being 100% certified Angus beef badass.
There's nothing more than you love than things that you can have a hyperbole on. What do you got?
You know, I said the Bucks are going to eliminate in the second round by the Celtics, right?
Yeah, why do you do that?
So I'm saying the Raptors are making the finals in the Eastern Conference, and I'm also going to hitch my wagon to the West. To the Denver Nuggets. I love it.
Raptors Nuggets,
that's your NBA finals.
Turn my television off right
now. Well, you got LeBron and the Warriors for three straight years, and everyone said, no, it's so predictable. And now you're going to get two out-of-the-woods teams. Everyone's going to hate that, too.
Can we temporarily trade Giannis to Toronto so I could see him in the finals?
You sure
that
can.
Would be fun.
He's going to get bounced by Boston in the second round.
I don't
have a good enough supporting cast. I think the Warriors are going to get beat by the Rockets, and the Rockets are going to lose to the Nuggets, propelling the Nuggets into the NBA Finals.
And then what happens to the Warriors after in the offseason?
No, I don't. I'm not prepared to make that take yet.
KD goes to the Rockets.
By the way, I'm not
predicting. KD goes to Houston.
The part of the hot take is not the Warriors losing to the Rockets in the round two. I'm just saying the Nuggets get to the finals. Whatever the path is there.
There's a lot there. It's a lot to dissect.
But I already said the Bucks weren't making it in the East, so it's got to be someone else, so I'm going with the Raptors. And we were just talking about how we shouldn't believe in the Nuggets, but I'm hitching my wagon.
Well, on the bright side, we've got plenty of time to dissect all of that, as we're not going to be here tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, that's right. We got an early start for the White Sox next couple. Jackson and I will be checking in with you on Facebook. Be sure to like us there, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Dean Irvin's coming up next to get through your drive home at Sports Fan Radio 1330.
And bye.
I love you all. And I always will. Thank you.